to honor the United States of America, please rise, remove your hats for the playing of our national anthem this evening by Flea.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
We can only take one pet. Which pet? The cat or the dog?
The cat! You okay. Idiot! No!
What are you doing with the dog?
He's the worst! He's already dying! Just leave him!
Okay,
get the cat!
I'll get the cat.
How about that whole deal?
Bring a bong, Burbank. Glendale. Bring a bong, Burbank. Abracadabra, California. Acacia is the best.
And now.
I think, you know, I might start an acapella group one day.
Our feature presentation.
Woo!
Wait, hold on. What's happening?
Woo!
I thought it was monkey time.
Where
is everybody? There's no Kevin either?
Nope. Just you and me.
Dave the King of Mexico?
Nope.
Broadcast from the Kira Coachella house?
None. None broadcast.
I thought that was the plan, is we were going to have them today in the desert.
Well, I got a call from Dave yesterday going, oh, there's no broadcast, and that was it.
Okay. But Allie's here, right?
Nope.
Where's Allie? Is today a holiday?
Where is Allie?
Oh, now you're here. I see. Okay.
Where's Allie?
Where's everybody?
What kind of work ethic is this?
That's what I'm asking.
This is nonsense.
Kevin.
Hey, B.
What the hell's going on? Here's what I know.
Yeah.
K-Rock broadcasting live from the Coachella house all weekend long, starting Friday morning with the Kevin and Bean show. That was you and Dave out there Friday. That happened. And
right.
Then all weekend long with lots of great guests stopping by for interviews and performances, and then wrapping it up for weekend number one with a Monday Kevin and Bean broadcast from the Coachella house.
That's right. That was the plan.
And I'm not hearing 100-mile-an-hour gale force winds, so that means you're not at the Coachella house.
Should we pull up some sound effects just to make sure that people feel like...
Thank Where's you, our producer, Dave?
Dave's in the other room.
Oh, he is here. Okay.
Yeah. I sort of may have...
Sorry. That one came out of nowhere. Sorry. All right. You may have what?
Never apologize for that. That's the best thing ever. I may have possibly gotten into a minor, perhaps, accident where a car pulled in front of me and I just hit him. And then that didn't work out so well. So then I got an Uber, and I thought, you know what? I could probably still get over to the festival. I've got a good parking pass.
Mm-hmm.
Take the Uber over, see some bands and stuff, and then right. Go back to my hotel. But then I thought, but they towed my car, so
right.
Then tomorrow how am I going to get home?
Well, you'd ride home with Dave because you guys were going to be broadcasting out there today.
Didn't occur to me.
Wait a second.
Did it occur to
you that there was somebody else that was coming back here from the Coachella house after the broadcast?
No. No, in all honesty, no, it did not occur to me. Not even once.
Jeff, what do you make of that?
I had no idea what happened yesterday.
Keep doing what I'm doing?
Yep.
It was a weird day because, you know, when you get in an accident, you're not exactly expecting that, right? So,
right.
So you're trying to figure it out. It didn't occur to me once that Dave was coming back after the broadcast. I would have stayed. What a bummer.
This is unbelievable.
That would have saved me $467 on an Uber.
Did you Uber? You didn't Uber back from Coachella, though.
Okay. Then I didn't.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, I did.
Dude. Well, at least Dave was riding right behind you for free. That is unbelievable. Yeah. That's Kevin S.
It's not, I mean, it isn't perfect, if that's what you're saying.
It's not ideal.
No.
Tell me about this accident. Was it the other dude's fault?
Yeah, I was on the 111 and mm-hmm. driving toward the festival, and there was a side street. It wasn't a street. It was like a housing community. You know, there's a bunch mm-hmm. of those housing communities where they sort of have a little street that comes out, and there was a guy to my left. And because I wanted to move over to the left lane, as soon as I saw this van coming, it's a white panel van.
Of course it is.
Bean.
I'm sure you assumed it was me.
I did, yeah. So I realized that guy's not slowing down, really. He's not really giving the red light its due. So he kept going, so I glanced quickly to the left. There was somebody in the lane next to me. And then the guy pulled right out in front of me, and I just slammed on my brakes and just slid right into him.
How much damage to you, your car? How much damage to his?
A decent amount. Not, I mean, it's not totaled or anything, but they did have to tow it.
Yeah, you couldn't drive it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did the other driver cop to it being his fault? Or was he yelling at you for hitting him?
No, he had no idea what was going on. And then he called his boss, and his boss said, "Hey, listen, and you tell me what this message is. Hey, listen, we don't need to involve the police." What's that mean to you, Bean?
It
means no insurance. That's what it means.
Is that what it means?
Yeah.
I was just thinking maybe it means no blowback on the employer that way. But, yeah, no insurance.
Oh, well, maybe. I don't know.
No insurance doesn't sound great for you either.
I mean, I asked insurance. And then the guy goes, yeah, we have this is my favorite part. The guy goes, yeah, we have my boss has, because we just got the vehicle fixed. This is how he was stammering. And my boss has the insurance, you know, on record back at the office.
Well, if he's running a business out there with vehicles, it's possible he has insurance on them.
Yes, it is.
It's possible. But that's some follow-up you're going to have to do, I guess. So that's not how you wanted to – Was this Saturday or was this yesterday?
No, this yesterday.
This was yesterday.
5:30 yesterday. So well, good times.
Besides that, how was Coachella?
Great.
Yeah?
Really fun?
Psyched about weekend two?
I should go back because I didn't really get a good Sunday night, so I should probably go back next weekend.
It looked like Dave was still on social media from Calvin Harris, so it looked like he stayed. He probably stayed till the end or close to it,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I'm not that thoughtful, so I thought, oh, my God, I should call Dave. He thinks we're broadcasting from out here. But I didn't do that till much later.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So that's,
yes, Chip.
That's fun. Hey, Chip.
I was just over here just in case you needed me.
All right, we're going to talk about it much later on, and obviously we'll take calls from listeners on because there's so much. You can't see everything, even if you're trying at Coachella. But in a few words, Kevin, Guns N' Roses.
Dull.
Boring.
I'm sorry.
Really?
Dull is not a few words.
very just dull. Meaning what? Is it on Axl?
Yes. The band was fine.
Yeah.
The music was fine.
Right.
But he was sitting in that throne because he had broken his foot.
Right.
And he started singing, and it was just like, I don't know,
it just didn't sound good.
Yeah, well, he was hitting notes, but there was no, like, there was no, like, power behind
it. No energy. Yeah. Right.
Everything was performed fine, but there was no.
It was like a rehearsal.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. The rest of the band sounded like they had, you know, some energy, but he was just sitting there, and he was singing, and sort of, did it look bored to you even?
A little bit.
A little
That's
bit.
Disappointing.
Like, yeah, it was sort of a bummer.
That's but disappointing because that was the buzz act of the weekend.
But then having said that, you sort of expect that if you think through it a little bit, the guy is 75 years older than he was when he was good, right?
I think he's, I want to say he's 53 maybe. Does that sound right? Something like that?
Not a good looking 53.
Okay, all right.
So he starts singing. It's
54.
Like,
I just looked it up. He's 54.
It's like, okay, you know, he's hitting most of the notes and sounds pretty good, but
just no passion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's disappointing.
It's kind of a
Chip,
bummer.
Chip, who was your favorite act?
Ooh, well, Savages on Friday were amazing. Run the Jewels were great. And then, of course, yesterday was the Vandals and Rancid, which were amazing as well.
Oh, that's a 1-2 punch right there.
How was that yesterday? Was that good? Was Sunday good?
Sunday was great.
Yeah? Okay,
the Vandals got cut off at the end of their song because they ran over like 3 minutes late and
oh, really? And they said nope?
But they were wrecking us all over the place. Like, Warren was pulling his mic cord across the stage and pulling the sound guy with him. And then he toppled off the stage. And then by the time he clambered back on, they cut
him off. Wait, the Vandals?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's not crazy for the Vandals.
No, usually they're so play by the rules. That's what I like about them.
Yeah.
Kevin, did you realize that there was a Sunday of Coachella 2?
I mean, I did. It was less impressive than I had hoped.
Yeah.
As I was standing in a grass field waiting for a cop. But other than that, it was pretty good.
All right. Well, that happened.
So that happened. Yeah. So, thumbs up.
Good times.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Not now, not ever.
We're going to talk to Mama Muggs. Really, does anything else matter? Mama Muggs.
Well, we do enjoy hearing how early in the season she's given up on her Dodgers, although there's been a lot to be happy about as a Dodgers fan this year so far.
We have Harvey Levin.
She won't see the bright side of it.
No, she won't see any of it, probably, right?
Right.
Harvey Levin, TMZ, like we do on Mondays. We also have Bean Makes His Guess. We have highlights from Coachella, so I can find out what happened yesterday. Right. And Demetrius Johnson.
Yeah.
Mighty Mouse himself in studio today on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. Ralph is back. We will look at the showbiz beat next.
Ralph Garman.
Ralph Garman.
Turn my microphone on. Don't say my name and then not have my microphone on to respond to you.
I have a system.
You don't have a system.
I do. It's a bad system, but I do have a system.
Well, get a new one.
I said Ralph Garman, and then while I was
and as I was responding, nothing, no sound.
Bean's microphone on, and then
well, then say Bean, and then turn his microphone on. If you're gonna say my name, turn my microphone on.
I was happy to see you, Ralph.
Or get up from the playpen 5 seconds earlier so you can turn them all on.
Nope, I'm busy eating granola bar.
What are you eating? What is that you're eating?
It's a Snickers.
Ugh.
Yeah.
It's not breakfast.
Of course it is.
Snickers is not breakfast.
What are you talking about?
Don't believe the advertising, Kevin, just because they feed Marilyn Monroe a Snickers bar and it makes everything better.
Right.
Just eat a meal like a person. I'm so happy to be back.
Sounds like it. It's a good start, though. Listen, Ralph, I want to hear if there's anything you can share about your time away. But I want to recap for folks just joining us. So Kevin got into a car accident. Mm-hmm. And rather than get a ride back with his friend Dave, who he hung out with all weekend long and knew was also in Coachella and knew was also coming back, he got an Uber that cost him nearly $500.
Look, when you have Kevin Ryder money.
Right.
I'm surprised he just didn't buy a car and then just leave it outside the studio
with
the keys in it, just giving it to a homeless guy. I mean, it's meaningless. The money becomes meaningless at some point. It's all just dirty paper to Kevin. He just pulls it out of his pocket. He's got wads of crinkled up hundreds and $5,000 bills.
How dare you? Is there that?
Yeah.
Does that exist? Okay.
Yeah. Make them yourself with crayon.
You think he just didn't want to get in somebody else's car like he only rides in his own cars or his own cars that are less than a month old?
Really? I'm surprised it wasn't a hovercraft or a hot air balloon ride or something. It could have been anything.
Both would have been great.
I like that Dave didn't know he was working here this morning until this morning.
Yes.
Basically.
Kevin chose to withhold that information from him until very late last night that there was no broadcast.
Yeah, Dave got here into the city of Los Angeles about an hour and a half ago.
So
I'm not kidding. So his usual razor-sharp quality of producing might be affected just a touch today because he's working on
Zero. So my text to him was, look, you don't have to come back just because I am. Work from there. Do whatever you need to do. You can make phone calls from there. You can be on the internet from there.
No point. It's stupid. I'll come.
So he came back.
Well, this could be a hell of a show today.
Yeah.
But, let's get it started. Ralph is here. Welcome back from vacation, sir. We missed you very much.
Nope.
What we did.
No,
what's going
you
on in show business?
It wasn't a question.
You didn't. I'm not a sucker. Jive turkey. It is Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Jungle Book, King of the Jungle, debuted to let's call it $104 million this
really?
Week.
Really? Wow. Was that expected?
No. They were the high end, the optimistic projections were, we think it's going to have an $80 million weekend. Pretty
wow.
strong.
And that's huge.
A strong $80 million weekend will be a big success for this film. And it overperformed estimations, came in at $103.6 million. By all accounts, it's just terrific.
It looks fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't see it because it's largely animated, but it looks great.
Here's the thing.
Can't wait.
It's not animated. I mean, it's CGI, but it's not a cartoon.
Oh, okay.
Did you not know what The Jungle Book is?
No. I have seen commercials for this, and to me, it looked animated. It looked like, obviously, I knew it wasn't real, filmed real stuff. Because
well, the animals are talking, sure, so you can assume
that. It's people hanging out with tigers, so I knew that it was some version.
It's not a cartoon. It's like Zootopia or anything. It's just CGI. But it's very lifelike and realistic.
We're just passing over the fact that he will not see something animated, by the way.
Yeah, that's
which is another conversation that's absurd.
Barbershop, The Next Cut. debuted to $20.2 million. That was the second best film this weekend.
You know why Cube didn't mention that on stage at Coachella?
Did he bring it up at all?
Just many
Between every
times.
Song, Kevin?
Just all times.
The Boss was third with $10.2 million. Then Batman v Superman and Zootopia rounding out your top 10. Criminal debuted to $8.6 million. My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2. Miracles from Heaven. God's Not Dead 2. And Eye in the Sky were all your top 10 movies at the box office. Speaking of films, we may be losing Beer Mug.
Uh-oh.
Because they've just announced a new film, and I think if anyone's going to star in it, it's going to be him. I think they're going to pluck him from obscurity and make him a star.
What could that be?
Over there at Fox, a new film, an action comedy, based on a guy who drives for Uber.
There you go.
That's the premise.
There's no tie-in here. As Muggs
Beer
doesn't...
Mug's our Uber driver.
Please.
It's a one night, one harrowing night in the life of an Uber driver, says the slug line.
Fantastic.
His name is Stu. Hence the title of the film. Any guesses?
Stuber?
Stuber.
Really?
Yep. Stuber.
That is awesome.
Is the name of
that
the film.
That is awesome.
Who better to play Stu of Stuber than our own Beer Mug?
True.
Make a Juber then, right?
Would this be an excellent time for us to revisit the Juber ad, Ralph?
Why not?
We've been hearing a lot about Uber lately, so we thought we'd get out there and talk to some actual Uber partners. We talked to Beer Mug. What's your experience been?
This is the best job I've ever had.
How much money have you made driving Uber?
Well, none yet. In fact, I'm out of pocket for insurance and I bought a new car, but I'm going to be raking it in soon.
What's the best thing about being an Uber partner?
I make my own hours. I'm my own boss.
How many hours a week do you drive for Uber?
Well, I was going to drive some this week, but I had to go swimming, and then, you know, I had to recharge my batteries from all the other things that I do. But I can't wait to get out there and be an Uber partner.
Is it hard to make money with Uber?
I wouldn't really know. I haven't really dedicated much time to it, but I've heard good things.
What do you need to do to become an Uber partner?
I'm not quite sure. I'm really just an Uber partner just in theory. But I can't wait to do it and do all the things people who do Uber, the partners of Uber do.
Would you consider your career with Uber to be a success?
100%. I've never been happier.
Well, there you have it. That was Beer Mug, an actual Uber partner. And in retrospect, maybe a bad choice for a commercial.
Yeah. But a great choice for a movie.
Yeah, exactly. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor James Woods is 69 years old today. TV show host Conan O'Brien celebrates his 53rd birthday. Oh, maybe that's why Allie's out.
That's where Allie must be.
She's celebrating Conan Day.
Sure. Yeah, out front of his house, probably.
You know, every year she has a big Conan Day celebration. Maria Bello celebrates her 49th birthday. David Tennant, very talented actor, of course, best known probably as Doctor Who, 45 years old. Melissa Joan Hart is 40. Kourtney Kardashian's 37. America Ferrera's 32. And Chloe Bennett from Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. She can shake things with her brain.
Yes, she can.
That's awesome. She's 24. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We have LA Galaxy tickets coming up on this morning's program to give away. Also passes to Keanu, which is the movie that I have heard more chatter about working here than any film that's coming out this whole year. In terms of level of excitement of people who work on the show, Keanu is the movie.
Looks so good.
Yeah, looking forward to that. First, though, Kevin, you missed a lot of things that happened in the world over the weekend because you were out there at the Coachella.
Right.
And you don't watch the news because you're a kid.
Right.
There were two great moments in broadcasting. Now, I admit that my little antenna go up whenever I hear something on the radio that's awesome. But there were two things in radio that happened that were awesome this weekend that I want to share with you. The first one, and you're really going to appreciate this because we've had our fair share of technical difficulties working here on the Kevin and Bean Show over the years.
Everything but possible, right?
Yes. This is syndicated talk show host Laura Ingraham on her Friday show.
Okay.
And apparently what happened is she couldn't hear herself in her headphones and thought she was off the air.
Okay.
Okay. Now, there are a couple different ways to handle it, but the way she handled it, where you start throwing the F word around, is maybe not the best way when you're not 100% sure you're not on the air.
Oh, no.
But it's kind of fun for us who it's not happening to right now to hear this happen to another broadcaster.
Call the Laura Ingraham Show. 1-855-40-LAURA.
You're listening to the Laura Ingraham Show, 855-40-LAURA. This is a horrific story.
She's wondering at this point why she can't hear herself.
A new type of way that kids can destroy their lives, ruin their lives, or in this case, end their lives. What's going on? What do I do, guys?
I need that.
I can't hear anything.
She sounds delightful, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I left all the dead air in for the real experience.
Good.
What do I do? Drew, could you hear something in yours? No, right? Are you on Best Of? Are you on Best Of? We have dead air?
This is going out to the affiliates, by the way, all over America. This is what they're listening to.
I love it.
We got to put a Best Of on, Drew. We're going to lose every f***ing station we have. This is unbelievable. Well, I don't know what to do. What do I do? Just read stories?
Yeah, just read stories.
What? Everything's dead in here. I heard a click. The lights are not on the console. We got to put a Best Of on. We got to call Westwood One.
So that's a little behind the scenes on how it works when your headphones go out.
Is
apparently
the music the kind of music she would play on the show, or that was filler?
Yes, those are bumpers. Yeah.
Okay.
The little bumpers going back, from commercials and things like that. All right. So that's one way to be a broadcaster.
Good.
The other way to be a broadcaster is the legendary Vin Scully was all anybody was talking about after Friday's game with the Dodgers and the Giants. He told a story. He's so masterful. How old is Vin Scully now? Is he around 87?
Something like that. Yeah.
88?
I think so, yeah.
I saw last week when we were all talking about the Kobe finale, somebody pointed out that Vin was 67 when Kobe entered the league. Kobe's already retired,
really?
And Vin is still
going.
Yes. Yes. So he's still going, and he's the greatest broadcaster of baseball games that has ever lived and will ever live. And he tells a story so masterfully here. And I know, Kevin, you always make fun of these baseball announcers because they have so much time between anything happening for action.
Right, but every once in a while, I'll tune into the Dodgers broadcast just to hear him. Because for some reason, he can pull off what nobody else can.
Listen to this story that he tells, and it's already a fascinating story that you're not going to believe how it ends. But listen to him tell this story in between calling balls and strikes at a Dodger broadcast.
You know, Bumgarner tells a story which, in a sense, reminds you of what it takes to be a big league ball player. It's 2 years ago in spring training, and he and his wife were roping cattle, which is what they do. 1-1 pitch. Sinker low, ball two, 2-1. And they were startled by a large snake. And Madison thought it was a rattlesnake, so he grabbed an axe and he hacked the snake to pieces. But there's something more to the story. 2-1 pitch. Low, ball three, 3-1.
Can you stop it?
Yes.
What other sport can you work into an entire story while the action is going on?
Yes, baseball has a different pace than other sports. I think that's been established, Kevin. But how in control is this 88-year-old man? We looked it up. How in control is he of this broadcast that he is threading this story between play-by-play? It's astonishing. All right. So Madison Bumgarner, pitcher for the San Francisco Giants, has just hacked a rattlesnake up with an axe. Okay? That's where we're at on the story.
When his wife, Allie, and an expert field dresser examined what was left of the snake, she found two baby jackrabbits inside pieces of the snake and extracted them. 3-1 pitch to Turner, way inside, ball four. And after she extracted them, a short while later, the Bumgarners noticed that one of the rabbits had moved slightly. It was alive.
Now, come on. You hack a snake up and you... By the way, I love that his wife, Allie, is an expert field dresser.
That is funny.
You pull out a rabbit inside the snake's belly, Kevin, that is alive.
That's impressive. Yeah.
Is this thing on?
It's impressive.
Well, his wife brought the rabbit back to their apartment. For the next few days, they kept it warm, bottle nursed it, and the rabbit soon was healthy enough that they released it into the wild. And Madison said, just think about how tough that rabbit was. First it gets eaten by a snake, then the snake gets chopped to pieces, then it gets picked up by people and lives. It's all true. Meanwhile, line drive base hit to center by Hendrick, and the Dodgers are in business, first and second and nobody out. So I guess really the morale to the whole story about the rabbit and the snake, you've got to somehow survive, you've got to somehow battle back. A lesson well taught for all of us.
All right, my takeaway is if you have a choice, wow, be Vin Scully, don't be Laura Ingraham.
But what if you don't have a choice? What if you're me?
Well, then you're just you.
Take your own life.
Monday mornings, we always look forward to catching up with our friend Harvey Levin in the TMZ.com newsroom. Let's see. Do we think Harvey went to Coachella? I'm guessing probably. You were not shaking your ass at Calvin Harris last night till midnight, were you, Harvey?
Oh, God. Are there pictures?
How are you, sir? How was your weekend?
It was good. It was good. How about you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Doing fine.
Looks like you did have a lot of your TMZ peeps on the ground in Coachella. You filed a lot of stories from there. That was pretty fun. I felt like I was living it vicariously through the site.
Me too.
A lot of stars. Well, let's talk about some of the news stories that are up that people are excited about. Why is Arnold Schwarzenegger spending time with his own son a big story, Harvey?
Now, I'm going to disclose this the full story here.
Okay. Yes.
So I came into the office on Saturday early, and we got a bunch of posts up on the site, and then I went to my gym. And I was going to say Arnold works out at my gym, but that is so not true. I work out at Arnold's gym.
Sure.
and I see him there, and he...
Are you guys friendly? You know each other?
Absolutely, yeah. No, he's okay. Great. He's great. And so he comes up to me and he says, I want to introduce you to somebody. And he brings over Joseph Baena, who is his son, you know, the whole story by the housekeeper, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
We have not seen, I haven't seen any pictures of Arnold and Joseph since Joseph was a little boy. And I know that he's seen him from time to time, but I've never really seen him together. And I got to tell you, I mean, this kid is great. First of all, the kid is a behemoth. He looks like Arnold. He is as strong as Arnold. And Arnold was so proud. I mean, he says, you know, my son is going to Pepperdine, and he got straight A's, which is true. He's getting straight A's there, and he's a business major. But he seems like a really good kid. And afterward, I asked the guy that was with Arnold, is Arnold's trainer. I said, hey, I'd love to get a picture if you guys want to send it to me. And they did. And we put it up on the site, and it just did amazingly. And, you know, he's got a good relationship with this kid.
Huh. I was surprised at how old the kid is now. I can't believe that many years have gone by since the incident with the nanny, first of all.
Right.
How old is he?
He is 18.
18.
But see, that's what happens. One day you're young and then you die. And you have no idea how that happened.
That sums it up. So look at you, man, doing a little field reporting on a weekend, Harvey. That's commitment, my friend.
And then I go on Sunday after work, and I go to work on Sunday, and I look at the pictures we got, and there's Arnold in Coachella with Patrick, and so I'm thinking, God, this guy gets around. So he goes he's in Coachella. So this was like at, I don't know, I was in at like 6:30 in the morning, and then I go to the gym at like 8:30. And I walk into the gym, and Arnold's there in L.A.
What is happening?
Take it away from him. That's awesome.
He's literally stalking you.
It was unbelievable. And then he comes up to me again, and he says, I want to introduce you to somebody else. And he introduces me to Catherine, who's his daughter.
He could have done this all day.
It was crazy. It was like, how many?
How many kids do you have, Arnold? That's funny. All right. Talking to Harvey Levin on the line from the newsroom at TMZ.com. Let's talk about Prince. This was, I mean, the first report that I saw concerned me because it sounded like there was a plane crash that Prince was involved in. But that's not quite the whole story.
No. What happened was he performed in Atlanta on Thursday night. And he's going back to Minnesota late on his private jet. And in Minnesota, and he has to make an emergency landing in Moline, Illinois, because he was getting really, really sick, apparently, and they rushed him to the hospital. He was there for a while, then got back in the plane and went back home. And as people told us, that it was the flu, and that he'd been battling it for a couple of weeks. He had already canceled in Atlanta once, and he didn't want to cancel a second time. So last night, Saturday night, he decided he wanted to show people he was alive, so he went to Paisley Park at this dance party near his house, and he just got up on the stage and he says, "You know, no need to start saying your prayers for me. I'm cool. I'm fine."
And so the guy with the flu got up on stage and started dancing?
Well, he didn't dance. It was a dance party, and he didn't perform. He didn't dance. He just wanted to go and show people he was okay. Because when we broke the story on the site, it was weird. It was like I couldn't tell. It took us a while to get his reps to say anything, but let me just explain to you. You know how private he is, right?
Yep.
Yeah, right.
I mean, we knew it was true, but, boy, you try and get confirmation from Prince about anything. So it was a process getting this story up, but ultimately they did come back to us and say, look, it was the flu, that was it.
And you got to see pictures of Prince riding a bicycle around yesterday, too, which was weird, too. Why would somebody need to get off of a private plane because of the flu? Is it that you're so sick you need fluids? Is that what it was?
I found it weird, too. I mean, yeah. they say that it was the flu. And again, he did cancel once, so I found it kind of weird too. And he was in Chicago. They landed in Illinois. So I don't know how much longer it would have taken to get to Minnesota, but whatever it was, they couldn't wait.
Seems like gotcha. If you're throwing up or whatever, you can pretty much pull out.
Plus, he's on a private plane too. Yeah. It's not like he's on a commercial plane, right? Yeah. Exactly. All right, we'll keep our eyes on that story and all the great stories at TMZ.com. TMZ OG show all throughout the day on Channel 11. TMZ Live airs Monday through Friday at 4, also on 11. TMZ Sports is Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. South of Wilshire, the hilarious new TMZ game show is on Channel 13 at 5:30. And don't forget, when you have people coming to visit you, go to TMZ.com to buy your tickets for the tour. Harvey, have a great week, my friend. We'll talk to you next time.
Okay, guys, we'll see you.
This Saturday night is UFC 197, I want to say, and our friend Mighty Mouse makes his return to the Kevin DeBean Show next hour here on K-Rock. He is Demetrius Johnson. Of course, that's the same night John Jones fights again, too. So it's going to be a huge night. Looking forward to catching up with Demetrius. Brian Wilson. Kevin, back in the news.
Brian Wilson. Beach Boys.
Not the baseball player, the singer. And the songwriter. Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys. This is a guy who is considered one of the greatest songwriters of all time. He's the guy who gave us God Only Knows and Good Vibrations and I Get Around and Don't Worry Baby and California Girls, and the list goes on and on and on. But he's also had a lot of trouble in his life. And many people have written many books about Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys, but now it has been announced that he is writing his autobiography. I can't wait to hear the stories from his point of view. So we thought we'd get him on the line and find out how the book is going, because that's it's a lot of work to sit down and write a memoir. Hey, Brian, welcome back, sir.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
we're doing fine. How are you feeling?
That's so funny. I'm in my understanding.
Well, it's just been a while since we talked to you. I forgot.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You feel okay?
Yeah, I feel great. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited for the book and everybody be reading it.
The book is called I Am Brian Wilson, A Memoir. Why did you decide at this point in your life to sit down and write the story?
Well, I tried writing another book called I Am Somebody Else.
Right.
But it was hard.
Much more difficult?
Yeah, so I figured I'd just write I Am Brian Wilson, because it's pretty much just who I am.
Now, Bean said that there's been a lot of other books written about your life. Have you read those, and do you get upset if stuff's inaccurate? Or?
Yeah, there's a lot of stories been written about, my life in the Beach Boys,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
A lot of times, it's okay for people to do that, but a lot of times, they get the stories wrong, and
right.
So I figured I'd tell the truth, because I was there, I think.
Yeah, well, that's the question, you think, because you've had a lot of drug issues and health issues and trauma in your life. How accurate are your recollections, do you suppose?
Well, I don't have a lot of drug issues. I only had issues when I ran out of drugs.
Ah.
That was when it was bad.
Sure. Okay.
But,
all right.
But it's a lot of it comes back to me. I start to write a story and then I'll say, oh, yeah, that's right. I wrote that song that one time.
Okay. That's going to be riveting.
Yeah.
Are there any stories that you're working on or that are in the book that you can share with us? Because I know the book doesn't come out until October 11th, but we're dying to know what's in it.
Yeah, I of course, there's a lot about, starting with the Beach Boys when that band got started.
Right.
And so we I was I wrote about the fact that we would get into a studio, and then they would have these things called microphones in front of us.
Right.
And then we would sing into the microphone, and then the sound from our voice would be transferred from the microphone onto some sort of recording device, usually some sort of tape.
I feel like the tape
would then be played back, and then the instruments would be added to the voice. And then they would take all those things, and then they would take them and put them on a piece of vinyl.
Right, right.
And then the vinyl would be wrapped in some sort of paper protective sleeve.
We know that.
I feel like most people... inside a cardboard sleeve. It would feature artwork of some kind, usually pictures of myself and the other members of the band.
Okay, but that's...
They would be transferred, usually via truck, to stores where people would go in.
We know how records work.
They would purchase them. They would give them money in exchange for these vinyl pieces
everybody knows all about that.
People would take them home and listen to them.
But, Brian, I think we all understand that process. I think people are looking for some of the behind-the-scenes that was going on.
Yeah, the stuff that is unique to you, that you knew about and you did and you felt.
I like pudding.
You like pudding?
That's in the book.
Is it a chapter or just...
A lot of chapters. There's one chapter called Butterscotch.
Right.
And another chapter called Chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Rice. Chapter called Rice.
Okay.
About rice pudding.
This is not the book I was expecting, I guess.
I've written a new song.
You wrote a new song?
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to hear it?
Please.
Very much so, yes.
Okay, Brian Wilson.
I was driving to Coachella when I got into a bad accident. Then I had to take an Uber for $500.
That's absurd.
I'm not good at driving to places, but I'm pretty good at spending money on Uber. I wish I was better. Oh, wait a minute. This was not my story at all. This didn't happen to me.
That's not you.
Yeah, that was Kevin. That happened to Kevin this weekend.
Now I got to write a book called I Am Kevin.
Okay, good luck with that.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
It's excited to see you. That was a moment with Bean.
It is excited to see you.
It is.
What's it?
What is it that's so excited?
Well, I think that was Rachel Nichols when she stopped it, if I recognize the voice. And I think I was referring to my penis. So it was actually excited to see her.
I believe it was the girl from Broad City. And
is that who it was?
Traveling Bong. Alana.
Yeah. Alana Glazer. Okay. It was excited to see her, too, then. So good times. Hey, Mighty Mouse next hour talking UFC. Bean makes his guest coming up just after the top of the hour. Ladies and gentlemen, the return of Ralph Garman. I mean, come on. Seems tepid, but I'm excited. How was your
smattering of applause,
Ralph?
It was.
Is applause singular?
Singular for applause, for sure.
It's one applause,
and many applause. Come on, Kevin. It's English.
My bad.
You're a major. It was. It was a lovely, lovely time.
You travel at all?
No.
Work?
Yes.
Ah.
Yeah. I don't take vacation time to take vacation.
Do you need
only take vacation time to go do other jobs.
Do you need a vacation now to make up for last
week? Yes, I'm exhausted from last week's actual work, and now I'd like to have some time off, but I can't. I just go from job to job, man.
Ellie didn't show up.
I'm like, that's true. Apparently, you can. Lord knows you've missed half the year so far, so apparently you can just leave whenever you want.
We do have a very liberal leave policy on this program, don't we?
Yeah. No, I was doing a pilot.
Oh.
Which,
I bet Allie's doing a pilot today, too.
Zing! For those of you, of course, TV fans know, that's the test show they do for a TV series when they're hoping to get it picked up and to have many more episodes to come.
A network we've heard of?
A network called CBS.
Not familiar with it.
CBS Cares.
CBS is the name of the network that we did the pilot for, and it is... they're hoping that it will increase the value for its shareholders.
Is that right?
Apparently.
That's what matters most of all, yes.
But it was a pilot that was written by a very, very funny gentleman named Jack Burdett, who created the series. And he used to work with Tina Fey and Robert Carlock on a show called 30 Rock. And the director was also Don Scordino, who directed a ton of 30 Rock episodes. And Tina Fey was the producer on the show. So it was... I had a very small part in it, but it was...
But it's a real project.
It's a real project.
Yeah, and it's quite a pedigree.
Brilliantly written and starring some very funny people, including David Spade and J.B. Smoove, who just could not be funnier or nicer, and Jeff Stoltz and Joanna Garcia Swisher. So it was just a great group of people. I got to hang out with Tony Gonzalez, legendary NFL tight end.
Wow.
Tony
All right. Gonzalez. Okay.
And it was just a great week. We had a great week, and I wish them all the best.
Well, 99% of pilots go on to become series that run 10 years or more. So it's I think you are actually set for life now.
That's the
once again your support and your optimism, Bean, is as always appreciated. But that's not the actual number. I believe less than 99%.
Oh, really? I thought it was a sure thing.
Are you a guy in background who buys groceries?
No.
Okay.
I play. Oddly enough, it's nice to leave this show sometimes and go off and do something else because I get a chance to stretch and really sort of use all of my talents try something different and create a brand new character. And in this TV pilot, I played a radio personality with anger issues.
Boy, they were really testing your abilities.
Yes, yeah. I play a radio...
I wonder why they thought of you, Ralph. I
play a radio talk show host whose name is... Rage.
Your name is Rage.
Yeah, that's his radio name.
Okay.
Yeah. And he wears a black leather jacket. So it really was something
different.
So we
just change your name here?
It was something really, it was a real stretch and it was a pleasure.
It's Bobby
Rage.
So you played a radio DJ on the Mark Maron show.
Yes.
And you played a radio announcer on Agent Carter.
Yes.
And now
and
here
I played
you are.
A radio, I played a disc jockey in Sharktopus.
Okay.
That's right. I have a long history of people saying, hey, we need a guy to play a radio guy. Let's get that radio guy.
We know a lot of radio people, but we need one that's very angry.
We need the guy who plays the radio guy. Can we get radio guy?
It's Morgan.
Morgan was not a radio guy. Morgan was a stand-up comedian. And Bobby, by the way, was not in the radio.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
He was just a drunk.
Okay.
So,
again.
Again. Just all circling the target.
But okay.
Circling the target, as they say. Look at that. I'm out of time talking about myself so much.
Well, we missed you, Ralph, and we wanted
to know.
Now
there's no showbiz room. There's no room for show business news now.
Give us one story. Yeah, you give us something.
Give us the best one. What do you got? The best one.
The best story?
Yeah. Your favorite. This is the gold right here.
The best story.
Right. This is it.
Of all the stories
if you had to pick
of show business, well, then I guess it would have to be Katy Perry's new makeup line. No, I'm sad. That probably wouldn't be it. This is interesting news. Since everybody's talking about Coachella, Kevin, of course, had a great trip to Coachella.
Sure did. Loved it.
Great time. But apparently someone thinks that the Empire Polo Field in Indio, California, is a good place to hold a concert.
Yeah.
Oh, it's already been done?
Yeah.
Oh, they're doing another one now in October. October 7th.
There's been rumors about it.
Through the 9th.
Okay.
It has been announced. Coachella Part 2, I guess you could call it.
Bunch of no-names, though, right, Ralph?
Yeah, nobody. Nobody. This is the lineup. Paul McCartney, The Rolling Stones, Bob Dylan, Neil Young, The Who, and Roger Waters.
Nope!
All of the same concert
really?
Event, yes.
When I heard there were rumors of them trying to put together a fall Coachella, my first thought was there's nobody left to play. They already get everybody to play
because
they've got so. And then when they announced this, I was like, oh, that's a completely different approach. You don't need 200 acts. You just need 10 of the best acts in the world.
Yeah, this is like this is
this is a Hall of Fame is what this is.
You know, classic rock fantasy camp here if you go to see these bands all together.
Well, this makes me happy because I was really concerned about being able to get back out there in the fall, and now I don't have to.
Oh, you wouldn't want to see any of that lineup performing together at the same time?
Nope.
Maybe the
biggest,
Stones.
Some of the biggest rock stars in history.
Maybe the Stones. Because there's some people you just feel like, I think, hey, they're going to all be dead soon. I should at least, you know,
that's
check them off my list of
that's
people that I've seen.
That's not a reason to see a band unless you really want to see them as well. Just they're going to be dead soon doesn't work for me.
Okay.
Stones, I said. I gave you
so
one.
So you'd rather trek your ass out to the heat in the desert to see Kumquat Amoebas?
or whatever.
I miss them.
Mind your little baby band is playing in a pop tent somewhere, but you wouldn't make the same trip to go see the freaking Rolling Stones.
Yes, because this particular Coachella is all about new and different bands that you don't know about. I know about the Rolling Stones. I've seen them many times. Who needs to see them again? Everybody's with me, right?
Well, I suspect some people will want to go see The Who and Roger Waters and Bob Dylan.
I think some folks might show up for this show. Right. I'm just guessing.
Paul McCartney draws a crowd, Ralph?
A couple people might go.
No way. Not ever.
That is astonishing,
yeah,
by the way.
Kind of a crazy lineup. Today's celebrity birthdays. James Woods is 69 years old today. Conan O'Brien turns 53. Maria Bellows, 49. David Tennant is 45 years old. Melissa Joan Hart turns 40. Kourtney Kardashian is 37 years old. America Ferrera celebrates her 32nd birthday. And Chloe Bennett from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., 24 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We need a little Ralph Garman in there, please.
Right. I'm sure he's on his way. There he is.
There he is. All right. Time for Bean Makes His Guess. Hit it, Steve.
Bean makes his guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Bean makes his guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya,
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean makes his guess.
Yes.
I think this is gonna be an easy one for us today, by the way. This is not gonna
Orange.
Be a tough category. Orange is not on the list.
Oh,
I'm so sorry.
It's not easy then, is it?
I am fascinated by how many people some celebrities have following them on social media. And I have in front of me a list of the top 25 celebrities with the most Twitter followers. All right? So we're talking about Twitter here.
Nice.
The 25 celebrities that have the most Twitter followers. And we'll try to fill in the top 10 here. And I should mention that they're all people. In other words, this list does not include groups like One Direction. This doesn't include CNN or things like that. These are all people on this top 25 list, okay? And I'm sure, you know, unlike some gays, you know, some B makes his guesses that are pretty tough to get started. This is one you've got so many guesses, they're just going to come fast and furious. But Beer Mug, you're filling in for Alan McKay today. You ready to go?
Let's do this.
All right. We have Ralph Garman and Kevin. Traditionally, you get the first guess. Who are the most followed personalities on Twitter, please?
Justin B. and Burr.
That is an excellent guess, and he is number 2 on the list with 79-plus million followers.
That's
Justin Bieber is number 2. He has a lot of people.
That's a lot.
Ralph Garman.
So many choices. Kim Kardashian.
Good. Surprisingly, number 10. Kim Kardashian is number 10 on
loser.
The list. Wouldn't you have expected her to be higher? I would.
I thought she'd be in the top 5.
She has over 43 million followers. All right. You are also on the board. Beer Mug.
Why even do it?
Kanye West.
Pretty much count on Beer Mug.
You're the best.
Ralph took my guess. I was going to guess Kim Kardashian.
Well, then come up with all the 100 other ideas that were better than Kanye West.
He has only 21 million followers. He's in the low 40s on the list.
Again, why even do it? Right? You know? Come on.
K-Rex Kevin, K-Train, as we learned last week, K-Train.
K-Train is my new nickname.
I wasn't aware.
Yes.
See, you miss a week, you miss a lot.
Chuck the Condor. I'm sorry, the new Clippers mascot did not make the list, Kevin, but that was an excellent effort. Ralph Garman.
I hate to say her name out loud for fear that she may appear.
Yes, she is number 3 on the list. Congratulations.
But, Taylor Swift.
With 75 plus million. Yes, she did make the list.
How is she over Kanye?
What, are you an idiot?
You can't.
Are you an idiot?
Thinking about Kanye.
Are you a full-blown idiot?
Ralph, yes. I'd like you to reconsider the fact that you're asking that person if he's an idiot.
Obvious that Taylor Swift would have more followers than Kanye West. Obvious.
Yeah.
That's true.
For a lot of reasons.
Yeah, you're right. All right.
So we got number 2, number 3. Oops, we don't need that button at all.
I got to get that. Hold on a second.
Hello,
K-Rock. Can I help you? Leave your message.
Beer Mug, your guess, please.
Let's go Oprah Winfrey.
No, I'm sorry. Oprah is number 18 on the list.
You're spectacular.
Think of celebrities that are followed on Twitter. That's what we're doing here, bud.
Damn it. Say that.
Celebrities on Twitter.
All right, Kevin, what do you got?
Pauly Shore.
Okay. I don't feel like you're taking this
Kevin's
seriously.
Making it easy for me. He's giving me a chance.
I don't feel like you're really invested in the game.
How many does he have, though, B?
I don't know. 12, this 13? List only goes up to the top 1,000, so I don't know. Ralph Gurb.
Lady Gaga.
Well, sure, yeah. Lady Gaga's number 6 on the list. Congratulations. She has over 58 million.
I got it. I got it.
You got it?
Beyonce.
No. Not in the top 25 in life.
You can almost guarantee when Mike says I got it.
He don't got it.
That's wrong.
So he's 0 for all
Jesus.
Right now, right?
0 for life.
All right. K-Rex Kevin?
Will Smith's kid. Jaden Smith.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I thought that was a good guess, Ralph.
Did you?
Ralph Garman, who has not missed yet.
Shut up, B.
Let me.
I will allow it.
Katy Perry.
Number 1.
Oh, what?
Katy Perry is number 1 with
good.
Almost 87 million followers on Twitter. And by the way, she follows 159 people. So, that's out of whack.
The only problem I'm having is there's so many great choices.
So many great choices.
I'm having a hard time picking which one, and Beer Mug is struggling to come up with one.
It's hard.
Yes.
It's
yes,
not hard.
It's not
the easiest game, well, this particular look, game we've ever played.
To narrow down the top 10 is a hard feat.
No, it's not.
Really? Then how is Ralph doing it with every guest?
Because Ralph is a good man and a smart one at that.
All right, Bugs, it's up to you. Let's see if you can keep your streak alive.
Oh, crap. Let's go...
Bill Bixby.
Let's go...
Dan Haggerty.
Joe Jonas.
What a pull.
Claude Aiken.
Hey, good though, good. Not a bad guess.
No Jonas is anywhere in sight of the top 25. All right, what do you guys want to go around one more time?
One more time, because I think I have one.
Okay, good.
That's one, thanks.
Falco. He's been dead for like 10 years, Kevin.
Doesn't you can't follow him on Twitter.
No, I'm sorry. No Falco.
Okay.
Ralph Graham.
Let me see here. How about Madonna?
I'm sorry, no.
No?
No Madonna. Yeah. Not a bad guess. Muggs, you're the final guest, please.
Eminem.
Get one. No, not Eminem.
Damn
okay.
It.
Wow.
You know, I just thinking, we're sticking to music. I should have expanded my...
Most of them are music. There are a few that are. I'll just give you the top 20 real quick, by the way.
Okay.
LeBron James is number 20.
That was my next guess.
No, it wasn't.
Drake, number 19.
Sure.
Then Oprah Winfrey, then Jennifer Lopez. Demi Lovato, number 16. Shakira, number 15. Ariana Grande, number 14. This is the most surprising one on the whole list for me. Jimmy Mother Effin' Fallon is number 13 on the most Twitter followers.
Wow.
Well, I mean, that makes sense. It only
does
in
it?
That he has
really?
A nightly hour TV show, sure.
Yeah, so do a lot of people.
Stephen Colbert's not in there. I bet Jimmy Kimmel's not in the top 20.
Yeah, almost 40 million Twitter followers for Jimmy Fallon. Number 12 will surprise you, Kevin. I think Cristiano Ronaldo.
Oh, sure.
Number 12 most followed. Soccer player with over 41 million.
Diver.
Then you got Kim Kardashian, as Ralph mentioned, at number 10. Then Britney Spears at 9.
Wow.
Sure.
Justin Timberlake at 8.
Yeah, Timberlake.
What about...
Johnny Asshole.
Nope, he didn't make the list.
Not correct the top.
Ellen DeGeneres came
what?
At number 7.
That's shocking to me.
Would have never thought of that.
Never.
With almost 58 million.
Okay.
Number 6 was Lady Gaga. Number 5 was Rihanna, which I expected someone to say. Number 4, a young man from Africa named Barack Hussein Obama, number 4 on the list of the most followed Twitter followers with over 27
Hussein Obama. But a lot of his followers are Muslims.
And then Taylor Swift, Justin Bieber, and Katy Perry. So there you go. There's your top 20 most followed celebrities on Twitter. This has been Beat Makes Us Guess.
Beat Makes Us Guess, yeah.
I think I was about 5 years old when Demetrius Johnson became the UFC flyweight champion. My whole life, this man has held the belt and continues to. He's putting it back up on the line this Saturday night in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand Garden Arena, the World Flyweight Championship. How are you, Mighty Mouse? Welcome back to the Kevin Bean Show, my friend. Good to see you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, man. It's good to be back. Glad to be back. What's going on?
I feel like, we have nothing to do with it, but I feel like you come in on our show before a lot of fights and you win them all, that we're a little bit of a good luck charm for you.
Absolutely. You know, we're sitting here talking about humidity and all that stuff.
Yeah,
and,
let's not talk about that on the air, though, if you don't mind.
Yeah, we won't. Don't worry.
Mighty Mouse is the only human we've ever met who loves humidity, by the way. I thought that was the one thing that you just, like, is a universal that everybody hates.
Well, I mean, it's not like I'm absolutely in love with it. I'm not going to get married to it. But, you know, I don't mind, you know,
you
a little humidity.
You can marry humidity?
You could. You just go out to the Philippines and be like, all right, I'm married to you now. Let's just get sweaty together.
You seem, as you always do, very loose and very light, even though it's fight week. You do not have the grimace on yet that you're going to have on Saturday night. How do you not feel the pressure leading up to the fight, Demetrius?
It's just another fight. Like I said, the last four times I came on this episode, on this radio station, it's just another fight, you know, taking on another opponent. You know, regardless of where the outcome is of the fight, I'll probably be back here for the next interview after this fight and go back home and train and get after the next one.
It doesn't get more difficult as you become the champion and then now you're defending your belt every time? Like, doesn't that add an extra level of importance to every single fight?
Regardless if it is a title fight or not, it's always important. I think all the fighters think your next biggest fight is your most important fight. And for me, I've been doing this since I was an amateur. You know, I'll win my fights and, you know, I wouldn't even celebrate. I'll celebrate just a little bit. And my coach goes, all right, good job. We'll get ready for the next one.
So that's
been ingrained in me since day one. You know, my coaches, it wasn't like, oh, I won. They come home and they just, you know, pat me down. Shoot, I get back in the gym. He goes, we can destroy you now. You have no fight coming up. Get ready to get worked.
Wow.
And then I'll get worked and I got accustomed to it. And I was like, sweet, I won the fight, and I'm healthy, and I'm going to go home relaxed, and then go back in the gym, and I get worked.
Is that sort of what you were like growing up as well, or did they just sort of, you had to adapt to that to be this kind of fighter?
I was always pretty humble, even in high school, even in middle school when I went in races or wrestling matches. And I think as I got older and I got in mixed martial arts, there's nothing more of a high when you beat up another man, like mm-hmm. or a woman beating up another woman. Like, you just showed you're more dominant than a man, but then when you come.
Hello, America. It's Richard, H&R Block Tax Pro. This year's tax deadline is April 18th. That means 3 extra days to file. So the last minute just got longer. H&R Block offices are open early and late to get you every credit and deduction you deserve. Make an appointment or walk in on the 15th, 16th, 17th, or even 18th. Or drop off your paperwork and be on your way. What are you waiting for, America? Get in here.
The gym, and you're not the best guy in the gym, and you're not even. I'm not even doing good. So, but yeah, that kind of brings me on the humble.
Do you ever give yourself, because you sometimes have, you know, a couple of months, a few months between fights? Do you ever give yourself a week or some amount of time to just veg out on the couch and just eat whatever you want and not exercise?
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, that's one thing I've grown to. Come accustomed to since I become, you know, a champion. You know, now I'm fighting twice a year. You know, when I first became champion, I fought 3 times that year, so I was pretty active and I was loving it. But now, you know, I'm getting older. The fights are a little more, you know, rigorous. They're tougher. And after I'm done fighting, you know, I go home, crack open beers, eat whatever I want.
Is there celebration food? Is there a food that you have every
time? Well, that's the thing. Like, I eat whatever I want. Like, even though these guys.
Normally
I eat whatever I want. These guys are eating, like, birds and stuff. I'm like, I am a high protein athlete.
Who's eating birds?
Well, I mean, are eating like birds. Who are eating like birds? No.
Yeah. Okay.
So, with that, yeah, after I'm done with this fight, you know, I already have plans to go home, relax with the kids. I'm going to Mexico for Cabo for my Dirty 30. I already got stuff planned after this, regardless if I win or lose. So life goes on, ladies and gentlemen. Life goes on.
This is the voice of Demetrius Johnson here on the Kevin DeBean Show, UFC flyweight champion. The fight is this Saturday night. It's a co-headline event. Now, am I a bad UFC fan that I'm not familiar at all with Henry Cejudo?
No, not at all.
He's relatively new to the game, right?
Well, I think he's 10-0. He's 4-0 in the UFC. So,
how does that guy get a fight with you?
I just show up and fight.
Okay,
that's all.
So you say, put somebody in front of me.
Yeah, I've never been the type of person who goes, I'm going to fight this guy. I'm going to fight this. No, damn, I'm not going to. I've never been that type of guy. You know, there's been times where I'm signing to fight, and then I remember when I was fighting Hinden Brown in UFC 130. They called me and they're like, you know, we need you to fight Miguel Torres. I was like, well, what happened to Hinden Brown? And he goes, don't worry about it. You'll find out. And then Brad Pickett got a back injury, so I stepped up to fight Miguel Torres. At the time, was a bigger name and more dangerous guy. And then, you know, so I've never been the type of guy who turns down fights. They called me and said, hey, your next opponent's Henry Cejudo. And I said, all right, sounds good. Just give me a date. And
how many times has that happened in your career where you thought you were going to fight somebody and then it just turned out to be? Because people get injured all the time,
yeah.
You know, working out, getting ready for a fight.
For me, it's not about different opponent change, it's always about different card change. There's been times where I was going to fight.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I was going to fight. I was going to be the head, the cone, the main event, UFC 152. And then John Jones was going to fight somebody. Then that card fell out. Then they took me off and put me in the co-main and threw him on with Vitor Belfort. There's a time I was going to fight UFC 177 with T.A. Dillashaw. Then John Jones got hurt. Then I took over UFC 178. So there's been, you know, I was going to fight main event for this card possibly because DC got hurt and they're going to find a replacement for John Jones.
John Jones is screwing you up every fight.
They call me John Jones cancer. They're like, if DJ and John Jones are together, I don't know if him one of them going to make it. So so for me, they said, hey, this is your gonna fight, this is your date, and I just like, all right,
is that difficult fight. Mentally to think that I'm going to fight in 3 weeks? No, I'm not now.
It can be.
Yeah.
But for me, it's like, let's say 3 weeks have gone by. I mean, the call goes, hey, you know, your opponent's going to show up. And I'm like, okay, can I fight anybody else? They're like, no, you know, we'll give you another card in like 3 or 4 months. Okay, I'll get drunk and then I'll be back.
So, Mighty Mouse, let me ask you this.
I would be as a fighter, except for I can't fight.
Except for the fighting part, right. Let me ask you this before the break, because you're talking about how you don't care who is put in front of you. Does that mean that you don't have any beefs with any of the fighters where it's personal and that's the guy you want to beat up or beat up again?
Yeah, I have nothing personal with any of these guys. You know, those guys who talk crap about me, and after I get them beating them, I'm like, don't worry, man, this isn't the end of your life, you know. You're going to be able to go out and make money and provide for your family, and that's what's most
calling important. You a pussy. So that's the kind of payback he gets.
He wasn't on Twitch, but he was on the UFC, and on the internet called me pussy, which is fine. You know, everybody was like, wait, you called him a pussy, and then he beat you twice. So what does that make you? those aren't my words. Like I said, people are going to talk. People are just going to talk. Dude, I don't have time. Like, I don't have time.
It seems like there are a lot of fighters who thrive on that. You know, your Conor McGregor's, whoever, that sort of almost have to get up that way.
Yeah.
But then there seems like there are other people who do get a...
I'm like, what did I do? I'm just sitting here chilling, relaxing. And he calls me that. I'm like, whatever.
And then that was
seems
it?
Like a...
Tyron, let's go to bed. Come on, let's go.
Wait, your whole thing was whatever?
Yeah, that was my whatever. I was
you
just sitting there.
You never get upset?
That's what I did. I was like, perfect. Sounds
people
good.
See, I see that. Thank God on the radio.
I was like, well, I guess I'm a woman's part. I guess.
Okay.
What if it works out?
It seems like an attitude that is working for you. So keep doing what you're doing, Demetrius. All right, we got to take a quick break. We got a lot more to talk about. Saturday night, MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas. You can get it as always on pay per view. The co-headline event with our friend Mighty Mouse in studio. More in a moment. Right after this on K Rock. Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is on a 10-fight unbeaten streak. How about that? He's fighting again this Saturday night, UFC 197 in Las Vegas. Get it on pay-per-view. All right,
I'm surprised by that stat.
I just think I don't keep track. I just sounds good.
It's funny because
sounds good.
When you look at somebody like Ronda Rousey and she talks about how she needs to retire unbeaten, I feel like that's a total distraction. Like, she's not only thinking about this fight. She's thinking about every other fight down the road. That's too much pressure.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I tell everybody all the time, like, the longer you stay in a sport, the more the chances you are going to lose go up significantly high.
Right.
So people are like, John Jones will never lose. And I'm like, guys, you guys aren't understanding the premise. I was like, if John Jones fighting his 40s, the chances of him losing are very high. There's going to be a young blood who's 21 years old,
yep,
who's fast, hungry, who's going to be able to beat him. He's not going to be peaking. But let's say John Jones wins his next fight and goes, all right, I'm done, I'm retired. Perfect. You never lost. But you only stay in the sport for a very short
right.
time. So a guy like Fedor Emelianenko, Dan Henderson, these guys are in their 40s. And if they were never to lose and they just lost, like, it makes sense. You've been in this sport for X amount of years. Of course you're going to lose. It just happens.
Even if you're a better fighter, it seems like it's not easy, but it seems like it would be dangerous that you could just tune out for 1 second or miss one thing. You make one mistake, and that's all you need.
Yep, absolutely.
That's the scary part.
Yep, it's the scary part, but at the same time, I love it because, you know, the people I surround myself with, they're like, dude, it's so amazing how you can stay focused for 25 minutes. I'm like, it's pretty easy for me. They're like, well, why? And I was like, this is how I pay my bills. Like, I just got to be focused for 25 minutes. Then I do whatever I want after that. So I tell my body, I was like, 29 minutes hard,
right,
physically and mentally, and you're good to go.
Right, except for that you work out 10 hours a day for the rest of the year.
There's something wrong with that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. You know, I've worked a construction job before. I've worked many, many jobs. You know, working at Taco Bell, you know. There you go, man. Have a good day now.
Enjoy your chalupa.
Do you drive by the Taco Bell where you used to work sometimes?
It's been a long time. Each time my best friend comes to town, we always go back to Parker and drive through our schools and all that stuff.
That's cool.
But yeah, I don't go to Taco Bell.
Demetrius, what is the trend now of getting people to jump weight classes, and how do you feel about it?
Well, there is no trend.
People occasionally do it?
It's not really. So, for instance, I know you guys have probably referenced to the Conor McGregor thing, I'm assuming, right? So, Conor McGregor going up to 170, it's not truly him fighting. I mean, he is fighting at welterweight, but he's not fighting a welterweight. Like, if he was fighting like a Warren McDonald or a Tyron Woodley, Robbie Lawler, a true, you know, guy who's walking around like 200 pounds,
right?
Then that's a true welterweight fight. But I think what Conor and Nate Diaz are doing is that they're just going to a weight class where they don't have to cut weight. They're just showing up and just fighting. So they don't have to go through the diet and all that stuff. Because Conor, when he goes to 145, he is sucking a lot of weight.
Right.
So, I mean, for me, yes, it's a welterweight fight, but I don't see it as a true welterweight fight. For the fans, they're like, oh my God! He went up 2 weight classes, and I was like, so, "No, he didn't. He just didn't want to cut
just
weight.
Didn't cut weight.
He just want to cut weight. Like, he's a 145-pound champion. I love Conor McGregor, but when I see things, I just look at it as, you know, I'm an athlete, so I see it as these two guys. If it was at 155, he went up 1 weight class because Nate Diaz is a true 155er. Nate Diaz has fought at 170. He fought Warren McDonald. Go back and watch that fight. You see what happens.
Were you surprised that Conor McGregor got beat by Nate Diaz? Did you see it?
Yes.
He was ringside.
Yeah, I was ringside. I thought Conor was going to bury another man in the desert.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, that's the crazy thing about the sport. You know, you go out there, you overshot. You know, he didn't overshoot, but he thought his left hand, I thought his left hand was going to put him away. And, you know, Nate Diaz has a chin of granite and make it take a shot, and he came back and put it on.
But let me ask you this. It seemed to me like Conor McGregor did the exact same thing that Ronda Rousey did, which was zero respect for what the other person has, because I know that I'm going to drop you.
Yeah.
So you can hit me with everything you've got, and I feel like that was a mistake. I feel like Ronda did that, and I feel like Conor did that, where it was like, okay, go ahead and hit me.
Well, I think,
because I'm still going to win, and that's not necessarily true.
I want to say it's two different things.
Okay.
I want to say Ronda, she fought somebody who was a real good striker and who knew how to take angles, who knew how to drop her into the pocket and throw kicks. You know, I'm always a big believer that when you're doing mixed martial arts, you need to throw kicks regardless if your coach says you don't throw kicks. With Conor, I think he just fought somebody who can take his shot. And I think –
He's not used to that either
to where – For me, I fought guys where I had to beat them up for 5 rounds, literally, to where there's been times in a fight I'm like, I'm kneeing you, and I feel your jaw dislocating, and I feel like it's, you know, it's not going to work. Come, you know, a couple weeks to find out, the guy was on EPO, and he was on drugs, so I'm like, that makes sense. But I think it's good to go through fights like that, because sometimes you're not going to go in there, you're going to hit a guy once, and they're going to drop. You need to have that push where it's like, all right, we're going to fourth round. I'm still winning, but I'm still going to keep on pushing.
I know you're never scared. I understand that. But do you sometimes really connect with a shot that you know is perfect and you're sort of surprised that it didn't do more damage or they didn't drop her?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's been multiple times. Even when I was an amateur, I'm beating a guy up. I'm like, you, my friend, have balls of steel. I was like, good for you. I will keep banging this drum until the fat lady says we're done.
Demetrius, tell us about Henry Cejudo, please. He's all I know is the thumbnail biography that he's an Olympic gold medal wrestler.
Yeah. Henry Cejudo, he's 10-0, I believe, in mixed martial arts, Olympic gold medalist. And
how are the rest of his disciplines?
They're good. They're good, I guess.
Does Olympic gold medalist mean anything to you?
I mean, yeah, don't get me wrong. I respect it at the same time, but like my – everybody has a resume in this sport, you know, taking on a 2-time world sambo champion, taking on John Dodson, who is the winner of the Ultimate Fighter, the toughest tournament in mixed martial arts history, as, you know, the UFC says. and so, I mean, I fought the best of the best of this division, guys who have, you know, knockout power, Joseph Mavidis, who's, you know, the Joe Constrictor, who taps people out like that, who's fought at 135, been very successful, fought for the championship at 135 in the WEC days. So for me, it's not that I don't respect it. It's just that everybody has it.
Right.
And I'm going to get a hard on or wrapped up that this man has a gold medal. I was like, yeah, you guys got a gold medal. Sounds good. We'll fight. And then, you know, whether I win or lose, I go
back
home.
Do you get the gold medal as well then?
I should.
So tell me about the preparation this week.
Purpose this week is do media, man. That's it.
For me. As far as working out, anything else?
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, well, working out, right? You know, yeah, you're always working out, and you're just trying to make sure everything's fine-tuned, sharp, dropping, getting the weight down, and that's about it. But mostly it's just media and just the anticipation of waiting.
How much weight do you cut?
I am...
You're walking around at like 220?
About 220, you know. All chest, no legs.
And you have to drop a person?
Yeah. Yeah.
How much do you cut?
I cut about 15 pounds.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I woke up this morning at 139.2. I mean, last time I checked, I only had to weigh 125 for 1 minute.
Okay.
1 minute. Just the weigh-in.
Yeah. Just the weigh-in, that's
just
fine.
Just so I'm able to go, boom. That's why I have to weigh 125. So I've done a weight cut to where I got super low. Like I weighed, 2 pounds away from 125. Made weight. Then when I tried to put the weight back on, my body wouldn't let me do it because I got so used to being such a smaller guy that I couldn't do it. And then Mal's like, you're an idiot. Like you just have to weigh 125 for 1 minute.
Right.
Like that's all you have to do.
Tell people who don't follow the sport, we don't have much time here, but don't follow the sport, what it means to cut the weight and then try to add it back just before you fight. Yeah. I mean, that's an insane
thing. Absolutely. So for me, when you try to cut all this weight at once, it's hard. But you cut it at a small, gradual time to where, okay, I have, 12 pounds or I don't know how much weight I have. Whatever. And I get it down very small increments, mm-hmm. and then once I weigh in, I put it all back on.
So the second you're done weighing in on the, what is that, 24 hours before the fight or so?
24 hours before, I'll weigh exactly what I weigh right now. I'll weigh 139, exactly.
Really?
Which is what I'm used to walking around with all year long. So I'm going in there fighting at my natural fight weight in the whole entire year. There's some guys who cut from 160 to, John Natsi, he cut from 160 to 125, and then he'll blow in all the way back up to 160, and that's too much.
That seems like it would mess with your health and your stamina and everything else.
Yeah, and you can see the effects. That's why he's at 135 now. You see a lot of guys, John Albert, he weighed 165, 170, he'll cut to 135, and he just couldn't handle it. He goes, dude, I'm like, dude, just go 145. Everyone wants to be the biggest dude in the room. And I was like, dude, I am a small, compared to some of the flyweights, I'm a small one, but I cut all my weight at the very last second, to where it's like, 125, boom. I'm right back to natural, like almost like nothing happened, and then my body responds very well if like that. So you haven't
noticed that there's any loss of energy or anything else, like some fighters complain about they had to cut too much weight, they didn't have time, whatever.
Not for me. I make sure I do my water. I get my 2 gallons of water, and that's 18 pounds. That's 16 pounds. So right there's my weight cut, and then I think a lot of people don't have the mental capacity to force yourself to drink 2 gallons of water. I don't have a dietitian. I do it all myself. My wife cooks for me, but it's very simple. As long as you read books and you ask questions, and it's about having a sharp mind and be mentally tough and slam this water down.
Everything is just so easy for Demetrius.
So easy for you.
It's just
sort
of annoying.
You got a system, man.
It's a little annoying.
Well, no, it's not. It's
harder for me to walk around during the day, and I'm not a fighter.
No, it's all about mental. It's like, this is how I provide for my family. Do I want my kids to have a good life? Yes. Okay. So this is what I have to do. Okay, I'll do
it. Well, that's where Kevin runs into problems when it's all about mental. He just doesn't have what it takes. So Mighty Mouse, are you a guy who makes predictions? I know you're not a big smack talker, but what are your thoughts on how you expect Saturday night to go?
I never made predictions even when I was amateur. I say I'm going to go out there, get myself a long night.
Just go out there and win.
Go out there and win. I mean, I'm pretty sure if you guys look in the last past, your archives and the last two times I've been here, I'll probably say the exact same thing.
Yeah. Well, it's working for you.
And then you'll do the exact same thing.
I hope
so. Which is perfect, right?
We can't wait. Pay-per-view this Saturday night, MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas. It's a co-headlining fight. Jones versus – by the way, I don't know much about St. Preux either. He kind of came out of nowhere to replace DC. Is that going to be a good fight?
Yeah, it's going to be a good fight. I'm a huge fan of OSP, man. Love the guy. Guy's got power in his hands. And I think his last fight, when he fought Glover Teixeira, I think that was a real good fight for him because it went back and forth. He had Glover hurt, then he got hurt. Even though he came on the losing end of that, I think it's a good fight to have that because sometimes when you hit these guys, they're not going to fall. There's honestly a different echelon or a different caliber of fighters where you fight guys who are just good in one area, then you fight a guy who's tough, who's good everywhere, who can knock you out, all that stuff.
Well, it's going to be a fun card. UFC 197. Let's hear it for Demetrius Johnson. Thanks for coming back, bye. 106.7
K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 757.
Angry music. Hulk smash.
Well, you are Rage. I mean, that's what we learned. Your new nickname is Rage, so you should love that song. That is the return of our friend Ralph Garman with another look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean show. What's going on?
It is Monday morning, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. As expected, the number one movie this weekend was Jungle Book, although it made more money than people even anticipated.
That's rare.
$103.6 million in its debut weekend. The sequel to Barbershop, The Next Cut, was a distant second with $20.2 million. Then The Boss, Batman v Superman, and Zootopia, your top five movies. Criminal debuted to $8.6 million. Then Big Fat Greek Wedding 2, Miracles from Heaven, God's Not Dead 2, and Eye in the Sky was number 10. You really need God's Not Dead 2? If you've made your case in the first God's Not Dead, that
God is not dead,
he doesn't need to be not dead more.
Right.
You've stated your case. You've proven your point. Right?
Yeah, right.
Come on,
I
Christians.
Have an answer for that.
Get on it. I don't know what that means. it's true. The rumors are indeed real. Axl Rose will be the new lead singer of AC/DC, at least for the remaining 2016 tour dates.
Now, how do we feel about that?
It's good. It's awesome. Now, AC/DC fans can also wait 3 to 12 hours for a concert to start, which is fun, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They kept him on a short leash at Coachella, though. I think he was out there, 10 minutes after start time? I mean, it was pretty close to being on time.
Yeah. Wasn't great. He was out there. Look, the guy's got a busted-up foot. What do you want from him? He has to sing sitting down. That's not easy.
I've seen Dave Grohl do it.
Well, Dave Grohl's a special man.
That's true. Kevin, did you stick around long enough into the Guns N' Roses set to see Angus Young
from
AC/DC come out and they performed a couple of numbers together?
Nope. Was it good?
I heard it was the highlight of the whole set. He was more enthusiastic singing Whole Lotta Rosie than he was singing Sweet Child of Mine.
Not difficult in that the songs that he was singing that were Guns N' Roses songs, he seemed bored with.
Well, it's old stuff, man. He's got the new AC/DC catalog to sink his teeth into. He's got Dirty Deeds to do, Dirt Cheap.
Now, if you're an AC/DC fan and you have tickets to their upcoming show, do you want to go now if you hear that Axl is going to be singing instead of Brian Johnson, the man you paid to buy tickets for? What's your level of interest in hearing AC/DC, an AC/DC cover band?
I guess that would be down to whether you like Guns N' Roses or not. If you like them, I imagine it's probably pretty good.
I'm torn because I'm an AC fan, but not so much a DC fan. So I don't even know whether to, I'm torn. Come on!
Yeah.
It's good to be back. And this is terrifying. This is terrifying. Dave Navarro, our buddy Dave Navarro. Of course, Jane's Addiction, also Ink Master.
Sure.
He was on a way to visit a radio station when he was in an elevator in New York City that not only stopped functioning and trapped him inside, but plummeted 10 floors.
Dude.
You're stuck in an elevator, but then it drops 10 floors.
Once it starts falling, you don't know that it's only going to be 10 floors.
You don't know how far it's
going. You're like, this is it.
It might go right to hell. It might be the elevator to hell. It might be the hellevator. You don't know.
I don't know.
I do feel like if I'm in an elevator and it starts plummeting to the ground, I expect to die. I have time for that to go through my mind, which is, okay, this elevator is going to hit the ground and I'm going to be dead. I think that would be reasonable to assume at that point.
Yeah.
That's amazing that he's fine.
New York City firefighters were able to extricate him from the elevator, and he was pretty rattled. But, he took a selfie. He had the wherewithal to take a selfie while he was stuck.
Probably some time, yeah.
Got to get the word out,
sure.
Right? Look, how are you going to get help? You got to send it. Help me, I'm stuck in an elevator. You got a selfie of yourself and the elevator.
It's an important selfie.
This way, someone come to rescue you. Today's celebrity birthdays. James Woods is 69 years old today. TV host Conan O'Brien is 53. Remember when he used to be on television, Conan O'Brien?
I think he's still doing it.
What happened to him?
Did TBS. He I think is he he's now, just is he still now, every night.
Is he writing some sort of blog?
No, he's doing a daily show.
Oh, I think cable. I would know about that if he was on television.
I believe he is, yeah.
Maria Bello is 49 years old. David Tennant, turns 45. Melissa Joan Hart. Sabrina. Remember Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
Sure do. Sure.
They're all grown up, 40 years old. Kourtney Kardashian's 37. America Ferrera's 32. Chloe Bennett of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is 24. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let me tell you about later this week on the Kevin and Bean Show. Listen to this, Kevin. First of all, Johnny Knoxville is coming in this week. We always love Johnny.
Sure.
Tim Simons talking about the return of Veep.
When does Veep come back?
It comes back on the 24th on HBO. So Tim Simons will return. We've got a little band maybe you've heard of called Garbage stopping by Wednesday morning to world premiere their brand new single. That's happening this week on the Kevin and Bean Show. Felicia Day is going to be joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Right.
Comedian Ben Glebe on the program. Corey Michael Smith from Gotham. He plays the Riddler. Anderson Cooper on the show tomorrow.
Are you positive you're reading our list?
Oh, you know what? This is the Tonight Show. Yeah. I'm sorry. I totally screwed that up. No, all of that is happening this week on the Kevin Bean Show, so we're very excited. So even if you don't like today, trust me, it gets better.
Larry Flint is making a porn parody called The Donald.
Sure. Why wouldn't he?
About Donald Trump.
Larry is not a huge fan of many Republicans, and he has, you know, over the years running his Hustler magazine empire, he has offered sums of money for people who will come forward and tell tales about things that Republicans have done. I mean, there's no secret of his partisanship. He's contributed to Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton's campaigns in the past. But this is his way of kind of keeping his brand in the news, I guess. He says he's filmed this video. It's going to be available for sale tomorrow, and he plans to mail a copy to every Republican member of Congress. I don't know what he thinks that's going to do. Doesn't have anything to do with Donald Trump, but he's going to do it anyway. So we wanted to find out more about this video and what his thoughts are on it. So we have the great Larry Flint joining us on K-Rock right now. Hey, Mr. Flint, welcome back, sir.
Good morning, Captain. How are you?
We're good. Thank
you. Well, we're fine. I'm not sure what you think this is going to accomplish because it's just a guy who looks like Donald Trump having sex with a woman, right?
But I wanted to show America in explicit detail what Donald Trump would do to America if he were the president. So you'll see him doing to women what he would do to the country
yes.
if he was elected as a president.
Right. We understand that expression. Yes, works for both situations.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Did you have trouble casting an actor to play Donald Trump?
I did, because most of the actors who do the videos for Hustler are well endowed. So it was hard to find one appropriately sized to play Donald Trump, because he has a legendarily micro.
Is that right? Micro.
Legendarily micro.
Okay, all right. So you're not a fan of the Donald.
I have no personal feelings about the man one way or another. I'm just desperately concerned for what he would do as president. And I think we need to recognize that he's a clown, and we have to treat him accordingly.
Okay. Well, you're certainly doing that. Have you gotten any response from Mr. Trump? He can't be pleased to see something like this come election time.
I haven't heard from him yet, but I'm going to send him a copy of this video and then see if he's got anything to say about it.
Mm. We actually have him on the other line if you want to talk to him.
What?
We have Donald Trump. He's on the phone, too?
Yeah.
This is disgusting. You are the worst purveyor of pornography I've ever heard of. You're disgusting, and you're the worst. Frankly, you're the worst person in the world. Well, that's saying something coming from you, Don. Sit down! Sit down!
He is sitting down. He's sitting down.
I sit down all the time. Oh, that's another thing, too. You can't walk. You're all with your legs being non-functional. I have the greatest legs ever.
Do you?
I do the best walking. That's all I do. I walk all over New York. Everyone can see me just walking up and down the street. So already I'm better than you because I can walk. That's some logic for you right
now. Mr. Trump, I hate to jump in here, but the man was shot. I mean, somebody tried to assassinate him and he's paralyzed. It's not really his fault. It's not really the type of thing you make fun of somebody for.
And another thing, no one has ever tried to shoot me. So that makes me better than this guy already. He's disgusting. He's the worst. And if I were to make a porn movie, it would be the greatest porn movie in the history of pornography.
Is that right?
Uh-huh. Because I am the most sexual. I am amazingly talented in bed.
Uh-huh.
Trust me, downstairs, where no problem. No problem down there at all.
Right. Now, Larry,
I just have one question for this cripple guy in a wheelchair who's a pervert.
Okay.
How hot is the actress who plays my daughter in the movie? That's all I want to know. She's pretty hot. She's pretty. Because that's all I'm really interested in, seeing the girl who plays my daughter. Because my daughter's incredibly hot.
Yes, we've talked about how you might date her, yeah.
I'd love to see a porn star who looks like my daughter, quite frankly.
Oh, this is so creepy.
And they call me a pervert.
Weekend number one of Coachella is in the books. Don't forget, K-Rock is presenting Coachella again this weekend. See your LCD sound system and your Guns N' Roses and your Calvin Harris and all the other hundreds of acts. I assume we're going to have tickets to give away at some point this week, right? I would imagine. Like we do.
Sure.
I would assume you would check that out before we went
on
the air.
Well, because why would we even be talking about it then if we're not?
I would suppose we do as well, Bean.
That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Earlier today, Kevin came in late and then told us that he had had a car wreck. And rather than get a ride back with multiple people on this show who were also going to be driving back last night from Coachella, he decided to take an Uber that cost him $467.
Here's what happened. A guy pulled in front of me. My light was green. His light was red. But he just ran right through it and I T-boned him. Okay, right. So now my car is ruined, can't drive, whatever. I got to call a tow truck. But we were supposed to broadcast from Indio this morning.
Right, K-Rock Party House, Coachella, right?
Right. So I thought everybody was staying. I didn't think anybody was coming back last night. So as far as Dave, you know, and Christine and people. So I was just like, well, you know, I don't want to ruin their fun.
I see.
I'm just going to get an Uber and go back myself, and then I'll text them when it's probably too late for them to do anything about it, just so that they can stay and enjoy.
But you knew Chip was coming back.
Yeah, but Chip was coming back before.
Yeah, I was coming back early because I had to work here for the broadcast.
Right.
Okay.
So I ended up taking it over.
Seems shaky to me. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it sucks. But anyway, so I did want to tell you a story about Friday or Saturday.
Friday night,
Chip comes out there and she's like, I want to see one band today. And it's Savages.
And I will say really quick before I make fun of Kevin. Kevin is the best tour guide for Coachella. Like, it was my first year going, and Kevin did give me the layout, show me where every tent was, and this is where the viewing area is. And that was really cool, which this story makes it even better. So
yeah, great.
Yeah.
So I says to Chip, I says, I'm going to go get some food. Where are you going? She said, I'm going to go get ready for Savages at the Mojave tent. And I said, okay, I'll meet you there. And this happens a lot. You do everything through text because most of the time you can't call people. There's no cell signal. So I text her. I say, all right, I'll be there in a couple of minutes. So I walk into the tent and I'm watching the music. And it's the weirdest thing because it's like a 1930s big band act. You know, it's like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- are maybe she's into maybe she has a much broader musical taste than I give her credit for. I thought she was into rock, and she liked this band Savages because they rock.
Right.
So I look around and I don't see her anywhere. So I think, well, this is really weird, but these guys aren't bad. So then I wait, and then that song ends. And so then I text Chip, and I go, Chip, where are you? And she goes, I'm in the tent watching Savages. And I said, me too, but it's really weird. Like, what kind of music do they play? And she says, rock. And I say,
well, you said, what's this Dixieland S?
Okay, I didn't say that. I did text that because it was, bah, 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 and then the very next song was the exact
same. Isn't that the Star Wars Cantina band that you're singing right there, Kevin?
I don't know.
And so I'm in the viewing area as well, looking around, because Kevin's tall, so I'm like, well, he'd be easy to spot. And I'm going to the viewing area, walking back and forth, pushing through people, trying to find Kevin. Like, where
but
the
it is kind of easy to lose people in a crowd.
Exactly.
As big as
so
Coachella,
I'm like, okay,
right?
Well, maybe I'm just missing him.
So I said, what tent are you in? And she said, I'm in the Mojave. And I said, I'm in the 1930s tent. I didn't know this existed, but for some reason I'm here. I'm watching the movie Swingers. And it was a big surprise to me because I was expecting rock. Back and forth, back and forth. Where are you? I'm by the entrance of the tent. I'm standing right here. Me too. How can you possibly be standing right where I'm standing? How long did that go on? A half hour?
About half an hour.
Half an hour. So now I'm watching big band music for a half an hour, and I'm just thinking, what could possibly be the Mojave tent, right? Yes, the Mojave tent. So I walked outside. I thought, well, maybe she's on the other side. So I walked outside, and I saw the sign for my tent, which was Gobi.
Oh.
Which means I was in the wrong tent the whole time.
the whole time looking for Jeff, wondering why she was an asshole.
And she was in the Mojave tent like she said she was, and she was enjoying some Savages, which is an all-girl band from England, and is great. I really enjoyed the three and a half songs that I heard from them after listening to Big Band all night.
Mind you, I was my first time. Kevin's in the wrong tent.
Yeah. Yeah, this is Chip's first time ever, and I was the one that showed her around, and then I was in the wrong tent for a half hour. So anyway, so the other thing that happens, Bean, and this is why we're going to open up the phones, is I was at ASAP Rocky. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. I was watching ASAP Rocky for a while. Right. He was a little upset because the wind was out there and the staging was set up a little bit different. I ran into Davey Havoc, who was there to watch ASAP Rocky. But then I wanted to go someplace else, so I left ASAP Rocky and I went someplace else. And then a friend of mine texted and said, maybe it was even you, Chip.
Yeah.
Did you see Kanye come out with ASAP Rocky?
Yep.
And I said, what are you talking about? I was there. But you can't watch the whole set, and you can't see everything and be everywhere. So basically that's what ends up happening at Coachella is, hey, did you hear? Hey, did you see this person came out with that, with this band? And you seem to sort of see, you see maybe a tenth of it. I feel like you could go back to Coachella 10 weekends in a row and see a different show every single time.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, especially when you've got, you know, obviously so many acts competing for one another.
So we're going to take some calls. 1-800-520-1067. You were at Coachella and you saw something that blew you away. Maybe it was something you expected, like Chip expected Savages. Love Savages. Savages is a great band. The band I saw was from France. Not so great. But you do walk through the grounds and you hear different things and you just walk up to a tent and go, okay, I've never heard of these people. This is great.
So we're looking for your stories from Coachella, the most memorable moments of Coachella. It can be a musical act that you saw that you were surprised by or that you loved, or it can be a celebrity that you ran into in the crowd or something funny that happened with you and your people or something like that. We want to kind of get the flavor because you can't be everywhere all the time for Coachella.
So 1-800-520-1067. What were the highlights for you for Coachella? And we'll take a break and come right back.
We are in a post-Coachella mode right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show, taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067, talking about the highlights of the weekend for you, whether it was with your friends, whether it was celebrities that you ran into. Boy, there are a lot of celebrities, as always, this year.
Yeah, you know what I noticed, though, Bean, and part of the reason why I don't see most of those celebrities is most of them hang out in the VIP area. And they give...
So are they not seeing any of the acts?
No, they do. They wander out, but for the most part, they sort of just hang over there. And there's so many people that just hang out in the VIP area. And for me, that's just not interesting. I want to go...
That's not the show, yeah.
No, I want to go out and see actually some of the music.
Right. We mentioned Angus Young coming out with Guns N' Roses, for instance. I mean, one of the fun things about Coachella is you do get a lot of those kinds of surprise people appearing on stage. You said Kanye comes out at ASAP. You know, you had Lord and Sam Smith coming out with Disclosure, for instance. I think Bobby has one that I never heard anywhere about. He's on line one. He's from Los Angeles. He is just getting back from Coachella. Bobby, how was your weekend, sir?
It was fantastic. Yeah, I just pulled into my garage. But I watched the Arcs, which is Dan Auerbach's new band. Black Keys, yeah. And he had Joe Walsh from the Eagles come out with him. And he had like a third guy come out with him. I don't know who the third guy was, but Joe Walsh was awesome, man. They're just shredding up there. It was awesome.
That's a surprise. I would not
Steve
have expected.
What was that?
Was it Steve Miller?
I think it might have. Yeah, it might have been a really old guy.
Are you serious, Chip? Was it really Steve Miller?
No, she was kidding.
Oh, because
of the Dan Auerbach,
the Black Keys inducting Steve Miller in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Yeah. I would not have expected Joe Walsh to be at Coachella. That is a surprise to me.
And here's another funny story. So I did the car camping, and the people right in front of us got their car stolen.
What?
The person, like, I guess they must have left their keys in the car or something.
Out of the camping spot?
Out of the camping spot. It was
bummer.
The craziest thing. They tossed their cell phone and all this other stuff out of the window, and they took off.
It's such a... That sucks. That sucks.
Yeah,
I'm sorry for them. Thank you for calling. We appreciate it. It's such a weird situation where you're watching Disclosure, and they bring out Lord, and Lord does one song. And that's it. She does
well because
song.
She does one song with Disclosure. Magnets is the only song they ever did together.
I understand that, but it feels a little odd in that it's a track to get out there. And I imagine a lot of these people chop her out or whatever, but to go all the way out there to get ready and everything, and then you come out and do one song, and then you're done. But that seemed to happen a lot all over the place with different artists.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Rihanna coming out and doing one song with Calvin Harris, for instance. How was Bernie Sanders' video received in front of Run the Jewels? Now, of course, he and Killer Mike have that love relationship anyway. Killer Mike has introduced Bernie Sanders at a few events, and this was the return. But how did that go over? Because the last thing on your mind is politics when you're out there.
Well, here's the thing about that, Bean. It's funny you would ask. You know, that's the band that I wanted to see last year and missed, Run the Jewels. And so then this year, I was like, okay, this year I'm certainly not going to miss Run the Jewels. And I get a text from Chip that says, by the way, Run the Jewels goes on at 5. Are you over there yet? And I said, what are you talking about? They go on at 7. I looked at my list. Nope, 5 p.m. So we rushed over there, and we got there for probably the second, I don't know, two-thirds of the show, but did not get to see the Bernie Sanders video. I can't imagine anyone would have cared.
I don't know. I just was wondering how it. I mean, it seems like that would be his crowd, so it'd probably go over pretty well. But it is not something you would expect to see at Coachella. Is a 74-year-old man yelling at you? Was there anything that you did that you expected to do, Kevin? Because it sounded like an entire weekend of surprises.
No, that's what always ends up happening. I used to make these elaborate schedules, and then I would do none of it. So now I just stopped making the schedules. Mm. But I'll tell you, there was one thing that we wanted to do. Both Chip and I wanted to see LCD Sound System. And they were amazing.
Yeah, really, really
they're
good.
They're great.
Everybody knows they're great, but I had never seen them. I didn't see their concert movie. I didn't see their farewell thing. I didn't see any of that stuff, but I heard so much good about it. Yeah. And it was amazing.
I watched some of that on the webcast, and I thought they were really good. How was Ice Cube?
Ice Cube came out, and he said that the most dangerous band in the world, NWA, wouldn't play the Hall of Fame when they got inducted a week ago. But this is Coachella. And then he brought out DJ Yella. Mm-hmm. And who's the other one that's not Dr. Dre?
MC Ren.
MC Ren. So he brings them out and his son. And then they start doing an NWA song. I'm like, I don't mean to be picky.
But not quite.
But this is not NWA.
But it's still cool to hear Cube singing straight out of Compton, though, right?
Yes, it is. Which it would have been just as cool without the other two guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's be honest. There was Eazy-E, there was Dr. Dre, and there was Cube. Right. But he said it was NWA, and I was like, I don't feel like this is NWA. But Cube is good.
I would imagine Cube. I mean, he's got, I don't know what his set list was like, but he's got so many songs. I would imagine that's what you want on a Saturday night is Ice Cube, right?
Yeah, because he can do any of the songs from any of the different bands and different solo acts that he was in. Exactly. Steve.
Oh, Bean was asking about the Coachella House.
Yes,
the Coachella House. Yeah, because you were at the Coachella House quite a bit this weekend. And this year, more than any other year, we had so many great performances and interviews. I mean, it was just one right after another all weekend long.
It's really an incredible thing. It's like you're in a house with a pool and a great lawn. With a Coachella theme. And these bands are performing like 5 feet in front of you.
Yeah.
With like 100 people. That's it. It's amazing. I think my highlights from the house were the band Halos. It was so good. My brain was like exploding. And the Churches played opened up on Saturday morning. It was so good. Edward Sharp, just really, really, really awesome.
How about the K-Rock listeners who won access to the house? Because that was something we were giving away the last couple of weeks. And that's an entirely different experience at Coachella. Because small and intimate versus big and loud.
Yeah, because we do the house like in the afternoon. I heard one group of guys telling me that because they won tickets last minute, they weren't able to get a hotel. So they were sleeping in their car and coming to the house to swim, which was basically their Coachella shower.
Everyone else who was in the pool this weekend is now thinking about that.
So that was their showering?
Yeah, basically.
Oh.
But it's so great to see all those bands like that you would normally see at the outdoor stage or in the Gobi or Mojave tent with like a million people just super up close and super personal like that.
Christine, who is the band you didn't know anything about that you saw at Coachella this weekend and now you've walked away a fan?
There is this little band called the Front, and I guess they're not little, this band called the Front Bottoms that I just thought were incredible. So good. And I think probably I was really excited to see Matt and Kim on the stage that big because I've only seen them in really small
venues.
They're
on the main stage, right?
The main stage, and I'd never seen them in a venue that size, which really lends to their performance. Mm-hmm. There is a guy with a huge, huge beach ball that almost killed me when it got... They were throwing around these
giant...
You have
to know that Christine is smaller than Chip.
It's so little, yeah.
Yeah.
And this beach ball comes toward us as they're doing their finale. And, like, I missed it by about 6 inches, and the guys behind us got trampled with the beach ball rolling on top of them.
Sweet.
It was awesome. But Matt Kim was awesome on a big stage.
And
like
wasn't
that.
She, like, crowd surfing for a while or something?
Yeah.
It looked like it, yeah. Just crazy.
Chip, who was your favorite performance you saw this weekend?
Well, it's tough. I mean, we mentioned Savages, and I loved Cube. I think the Vandals, like I said before, they're
awesome.
Always my favorite because they're always just it's anarchy, and like they don't give an S about where they be playing the House of Blues or Coachella. It's all the same.
Pete has seen them. Tell them some of the stuff that they were doing on stage.
where Christine was watching them
yeah,
too.
They were awesome. The place down.
So during the last song, they do a cover of "Don't Stop Me Now" by Queen, and Warren is pulling on the mic cord across the stage, pulling the stagehand with him. And he's, like, leaning against it, like, you know, like...
Pulling six guys
yeah.
and stagehands. Six of them.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being the stagehands for them?
And they did not look happy. But then, like, Warren's pulling, and then he falls off the front of the stage, and
Sweet.
Then clambers back on and sits on the monitor for a while.
While they cut off the sound and cut them off.
They cut them off because they were going too long?
Yeah.
Which band was it that Kanye West just came out and clapped along to?
Jack U.
He literally just stepped out. Walked right back out. It's one of the weirdest things ever. It's like, are you going to sing or
I have a professional clapper now. At Coachella. That's great.
No.
So good times?
Good times.
We're all going back this weekend?
This weekend.
Woo!
Let's do it! I think that's it.
That sounds broken. Well, I think we need to fix that machine.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:53.
Woo! Hey, since Ralph is back, since he was out last week on vacation, perhaps we'd like to bring him up to speed with the new Moment With that we retrieved while he was gone.
And now it's time for a Moment With Kevin.
And
he's in Suicide Squad 2, by the way.
He's in Suicide Squad 2, by the way.
That was a Moment With Kevin. Mm.
Yeah, still doing the good work that you knew before you left.
Nothing
so.
Has changed.
Consistency. That's my importance.
We're going to catch up with Beer Mug's mom.
That's what I said. What does it mean? I don't know. I'm a bit tired.
Consistency. That's my importance.
It's my importance. What is that? Is that even a sentence that anyone would say? Why is that? Why did you?
Words are interchangeable. You know that. Oh, anyway, Beer Mug's mom, who is the world's number one Dodgers fan.
And an optimist, by the way.
And an optimist is what I've been told. Is going to join us coming up right after 9, and she'll tell us how this season is already shot, how there's no reason to watch anymore because they clearly can't win. So that'll be on the way. First, Ralph is back and in with the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday.
It is a Monday, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Jungle Book did very well for itself this weekend, made over $103 million in its weekend. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, that's rare and unusual in April, especially, right?
Yeah, they are already talking Jungle Book 2, by the way, so no surprise there. Sequel. You know, they shot that entire film in like a warehouse in L.A.
Really?
I'm not kidding. It was all done with green screen and CGI. And when you look at that film, you cannot believe it because it is remarkably detailed and realistic.
Most of the time you watch those mostly CGI movies, you can tell.
Yeah, it looks like a video game.
Yeah.
It looks like it, like poorly crafted.
And this isn't the case at all? Huh?
Not at all.
Wow.
Really impressive.
So, Ralph, do they do, like, when Christopher Walken plays the big monkey, do they is it
King
an
Louis
80s circus?
The orangutan?
King Louis, right, yeah. 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 Who's not an orangutan in this one. He's some other mystical prehistoric beast.
No,
but
is it
some sort of like they do with Andy Serkis in those movies where they put the little dots on him and have him act out all the stuff and then they kind of build the CGI around him?
I don't believe that was the case with this particular film. I think the voice performances were recorded separately from the...
Oh, so Christopher Walken isn't even really acting. He's just voicing essentially an animated character.
To the best of my knowledge, that's
gotcha.
How this film was made.
You know what should happen is you should see it.
Well, I'm probably not going to, but...
Huh.
So why all
then
the interest then?
Questions.
Why all the interest in something that you're never going to see?
I just am interested in how they put these things together. I'm interested in the technology of it.
Asshole.
Right?
He is gigantopithecus is what he is. A gargantuan is what he is. He's a prehistoric ape in this as King Louie in the new Jungle Book movie. Because that was more geographically accurate to India. So they did not be using orangutan this time.
You're talking about a movie that you're not going to see?
Well, we're talking about Jungle Book that a lot of people are interested in.
You're
so I just thought I'd share that tidbit.
Okay.
Right. Does it matter that no one's listening anymore to you? Does that bother you at all? That
well,
you're just reading things out loud now to me and Kevin and Chip because no, I guarantee you, no one is still listening to the radio.
It's historic.
It's not ideal.
It's more appropriate for the geography of India.
Asshole.
All right.
Back to you, Ralph.
Yeah, last week I was working with professional people, talented people.
To be boring.
Tina Fey was producing.
That had to be dull. Everybody doing what they're supposed to do.
Writing.
Doing it well.
Don Scardino, legendary director.
Sounds boring.
J.B. Smoove.
Right.
Just, everyone just showing up and being on their game.
Right. How boring, right?
It was kind
What's
of
fun about
it was
that.
Nice.
It's fun about everybody being good at what they're doing.
It's kind of nice. It was a little refreshing.
But that's my importance.
Sit down.
Barbershop, The Next Cut, debuted with $20 million at number two. The Boss, Batman v Superman, and Zootopia, the top five movies at the box office. Criminal debuted $8.6 million. At number six, My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2, Miracles from Heaven, God's Not Dead 2. And Eye in the Sky, rounding out the rest of your top 10 films at the box office. Ratings are in for Saturday Night Live with Julie Louis-Dreyfus. She hosted along with musical guest Nick Jonas. Not good, but better than last week's show hosted by Russell Crowe. So the ratings have been pretty much middle of the road for most of the season.
It has not been a very good season for SNL, by the way.
I love Julie Louis-Dreyfus.
I do, too.
So I said, you know what? I'm always hearing Bean talk about how great Saturday Night Live
Give
is.
Give it a try,
how entertaining
maybe?
It is. Okay. I'm going to sit down and watch an entire episode of Saturday Night Live.
Oh, you're stupid.
It was punishingly unfunny. Aggressively unfunny.
Some of it was not very good.
As if they were taunting me and abusing me with the lack of humor involved therein.
Maybe they knew you were watching and they were just piping in a different one just for
it
you.
It was. It was some sort of personal attack on me. I felt personally attacked by it. I was left physically bruised. I don't know even how a TV show can do that, but I looked down after the show and I was cut up.
This is one of those rare things where Bean every week says he watches it and every week says, it was not very good.
Look,
I don't know why he watched
I have never seen a Weekend Update segment that was without a single laugh. This week's show, the entire Weekend Update.
Wait, isn't
even the studio audience was like, "What's happening?" There, you could hear them literally their heads turning to each other as it was going on.
Isn't the Weekend Update considered pretty much the only watchable part of
That's
it?
Usually the failsafe.
Usually
when
my
everything
highlight.
Else
yes.
goes up wow. and down, then this will be it'll be saved by a couple good jokes in this segment. Was the noise I was making as I watched.
That's not a good
noise.
What
about Cecily did the one-dimensional female actor in a movie? You didn't think that was funny? Very, very pointed and topical humor, I thought.
Did you hear any laughter during that segment?
I think the audience was mostly confused by that.
You know why? Because it was a confusing, pointless, meandering, self-indulgent BS moment.
You know what's the opposite of that? Veep. Oh, which I can't wait for. I
cannot wait for the return of Veep.
I'm
felt
excited
so
about Veep.
Bad for Julie Louis-Dreyfus, who was working her ass off on
she
that
really
show.
Was doing as much as she could have been expected
with
to do.
Horrible,
Absolutely.
Horrible material. There was a game show parody, Kevin, about you had to guess who were the people who were working at a CVS and who wasn't working at a CVS as they wandered the hallways.
What are you talking
exactly.
about?
Exactly. My point exactly.
Yeah, that was a terrible sketch, but not
Every
as bad
sketch
as
sketch was terrible.
Not as bad as the sketch where the aliens came down to Earth to meet. Not as bad as that sketch.
Oh,
I
the dating the dating sketch with the two alien women.
Yes.
Here's my whole thing, Bean.
Yes.
You admit each week that it's bad. And
it can't
next
be,
week
it can't
you
be
will
bad.
Sit down. No, it is.
Sometimes it is not good.
I'm tuning in every week.
Next week, 11:30, you're going to be sitting right there watching that stupid show.
You are a mental case.
I do feel a little bit like an abused spouse.
Well,
I
stop.
Do. That's true.
You need help.
What about the open, though, with Larry David as Bernie Sanders and Julie Louis-Dreyfus reprising her Elaine role as Seinfeld? That was funny.
It was
It was funny.
It was nostalgic. It was like, oh, okay, I like these people. I have warm feelings towards them. But that wrung every drop of that out of me early on.
In the second half hour of that sketch.
But it was worth sitting through the whole show for those delightful Nick Jonas numbers that he was
Nick
singing.
Jonas sings like ass. It was horrible. The whole thing was a horrible experience. I may never recover.
And Bean will be right back there next week.
I was peeing blood at the end of the show.
That's rough.
That's how I knew it was bad. That's how I knew things had gone poorly for me. It was all kidney shots for about 90 minutes. Today's celebrity birthday is Chloe Bennett's 24 years old today. Oh, man. We get the Secret Warriors this week on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm very excited. Because, you know.
I think I'm one behind on that one.
Oh,
yeah. It's so good. Oh, it's such a good show.
America Ferrera's 32. Kourtney Kardashian's 37. Melissa Joan Hart turns 40. David Tennant, Doctor Who himself, is 45 years old today. Maria Bello is 49. Conan O'Brien, 53 today. And actor James Woods, 69.
Cocaine addict.
Oh, come on. That is a rumor and not true. And I am legally actionable.
Yes.
That's alleged.
I was completely, Mr. Woods, I was completely joking because you so, in a high-profile way, sue people who say those things about you. So I am not saying those things about you because it's absolutely not true.
So technically you're saying the opposite of that.
I'm saying no one has ever done less cocaine than James Woods.
Right.
No one.
Okay.
I'm Ralph Garvin. I walk the showbiz beat.
One of the great rivalries in all of sports, Kevin, as you know, is the Los Angeles Dodgers versus the San Francisco Giants.
I do know that.
And it goes back long before either team left New York. They first played each other back in 1884. And every year they are always battling for control of the NL West. So it's a big deal when those two teams play. And this weekend they played again. And this weekend the Dodgers took 2 out of 3 from the San Francisco Giants. The Dodgers, who, by the way, are in first place in the division right now, 8-5 on the season. I say all of that to say, let's see how Beer Mug's mom, who joins us on the phone, is going to figure out a way to spin this into telling us that the season is already over. Because you know that's where it's going, right?
Mama Mugs, Mama Mugs, she's one badass Jew. Mama Mugs, Mama Mugs, she hates the Dodger Blue. It's time for Mama Mugs, give me some Mama Mugs.
L'chaim! Hey, Mugs, Mom.
Good morning.
It's Mama Mugs to you, Bean.
Sorry, Mama Mugs. We have not spoken with you in a long time since the end of last year's baseball season. How have you been? How are you feeling?
Oh, fine. Great. I was looking forward to the beginning of the season.
You were looking forward to it. And then what happened?
That sounds past tense. You were with hope. Okay, so you thought this year might be the year.
Well, no, then I changed my mind.
I see.
Yeah.
Did you change your mind before the season started or
Way before the season started.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I know that you were very upset when Mr. Greinke was traded, but he's sucking in Arizona, right? And
yes.
And haven't the Dodgers picked up, didn't they pick up that Kenta Maeda guy who's doing great, right?
Kenta Maeda.
Uh-huh.
Kenta Maeda.
And is he
doing that seems like a good trade, like something you should be happy about.
Well, yes. He seems to be the only consistent one other than Kershaw.
Mm-hmm.
Pitching is a little unpredictable right now. And my beef with the Dodgers is that they are inconsistent. And so far they've won 3 out of 4 series, but they've been lucky.
I feel like they've won 3 out of 4 series, but they've been lucky.
Yes.
I feel like
it's not skill. I think the Giants are a much better team than the Dodgers consistently.
Okay.
And the Dodgers will just have to go on luck.
There is a certain amount of luck in every winning franchise, though. I mean, sometimes that's the thing about sports is things break your way and sometimes things don't. And, you know, and good teams seem to have more luck because they put themselves in a position to be available for that luck to happen.
Well, you can't put your money on lucky. You have to go with consistency. And that's where you'll make your money.
That's where I learned that from.
Oh,
that
that's
wisdom.
Where. Gotcha. Wait, you know that?
So, in other words, you look at first place and in your mind, all you think is, yeah, for now.
For now, they have 10 players on the disabled list, and they've been going with a lot of minor league players, and you can't get to the World Series with minor league players.
But Mama Muggs, it's also you're only 13 games in, 8-5. Just go. You know what? Today is a good day. We're in first place.
They can't lose today.
They're not going to play today.
Okay, so that's a one good day. Are you going to have a good day today?
A wonderful day today. They cannot lose.
Okay,
Mama Bugs. I saw the other day. I'm glad you brought up all the injuries. I saw the other day that the Dodgers have more payroll in the hospital, basically, than most teams in baseball have on the field, which is unbelievable when you think about how much money they're spending for players who can't play right now.
Yeah, so and that's a problem because, as I said, they have minor league players who are just being lucky. For instance, Kiki Hernandez has been fantastic, but he's not a regular player.
Mm-hmm. So but isn't it possible that this might be like a turning point for him where he starts playing regularly?
Yeah, he earns his way onto the squad because he plays so well.
They've been using the changing position players a lot.
Right.
They've been platooning a lot.
Right.
So
but my point is it's been working.
But Hernandez will never be used on a regular basis because he's only good with left-handed pitchers. And
what
when
do you think about the job?
Left-handed pitcher, he can go.
What do you think about the job Dave Roberts is doing as manager? Because it sounds like he has had a why are you laughing? It seems like he has been managing pretty well if he's had all of these injuries and all of these adjustments he's had to make, and he still keeps winning.
Well, I hate to say it, but management seems to have been doing a good job in getting a lot of these extra
Whoa!
Players.
Wow.
Look at that. Mama, you got to say something nice.
One compliment out of 15 conversations.
Oh, my God. I can't stand it, but they seem to have gotten the right players for the right time, and all Dave Roberts has to do is plug them in.
Okay. Well, he's plugging away.
He's plugging.
How are you seeing the games, Mama Muggs?
In terms of what?
In terms of watching them. Do you have Time Warner?
Yes, I have. I have both the hands crossed. My fingers are crossed.
No,
my heart is pounding.
Right. No, but we're saying,
how do you access the games?
Do you have Time Warner cable?
Yes. That's our secret plan.
What does that mean?
You can't divulge that, can you?
Oh, no, I see.
Mama Muggs is stealing cable. Huh?
We go through Apple TV.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get Major League Baseball, and you can access the Dodgers games.
That's a lot of work for somebody who doesn't like the Dodgers.
What is your prediction, Mama Muggs, on how this season will unfold then?
It's hard to tell. As you said, it's been only four series so far.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave Roberts is still learning.
Right.
I mean, he was criticized for taking out that new pitcher, Stripling.
What did you think of that when he was throwing?
What did you think of that
perfect
move?
Game or whatever?
No hitter.
Right.
Yeah.
What did you think of that?
It's up in the air because first I thought, oh my God, they're taking him out. And he's pitching a perfect game,
no hitter,
and I didn't like it. But then the theory was that they didn't want to break his arm.
Yeah, protect his arm. He's already had Tommy John surgery. Why burn him out for the season just for one game? I think a lot of people agreed with that decision.
Yeah, after he was taken out, yes.
Okay, so Mama Muggs, let me just see if I got this straight. You were wrong. He was right.
I think so.
Say it.
Whoa!
I was.
I don't even recognize this woman on the phone anymore.
You say it out loud.
I think I went on emotion and not good management.
That's not like you at all, Mama Muggs.
No, I'm changing. You know, it's another year older, and I'm changing.
All right, last question for you, and you're very kind to come on. We always enjoy you much more than we enjoy working with your son. And that is, how much do we want the Dodgers to win for Vin this year?
Oh, my gosh.
Wait, hold on. Do you like Vin? Nothing's a given.
I want to give him a room in my house.
Nothing's a given with you, though. I'm just saying.
Yes.
Get a ring for Vin, right?
Oh, my God. Would that be wonderful?
It would be wonderful.
Oh,
be wonderful.
God. Yeah, but there's still little hope, you know, where there's
Did
life,
you say there's a little hope? Yes.
A little hope that he'll come back. you know, he'll miss it. He'll get to the end of the season and say, well, what am I doing?
Well, I thought you were saying there's a little hope that the Dodgers might win a ring for him.
Well,
you're not even giving that a chance. You're just saying maybe he'll come back next year.
Yes. Okay. There's also very little hope about the Dodgers. I am not convinced yet.
I just wanted to make sure that we could have somebody on to make us understand that first-place Dodgers aren't going anywhere. That's all.
Yeah, they're not. I mean, it's as I said, it's luck.
It's luck. It's all luck.
And you can't put your money on luck.
Right, but haven't you ever heard the statement, you'd rather be lucky than good?
Nope.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
All right.
You're awesome, Mama Muggs. We love talking to you. Thanks for coming
on
today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Mama Muggs, Mama Muggs, Mama Muggs. She hates the Dodger blue.
Not a hay.
Felt good. Felt right.
Nope.
Felt right.
Felt the opposite of right. Felt very, very wrong.
It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:41 on the world famous K-Rock.
Rob is back. Time for another look at the showbiz beat on a Monday. What's going on?
Keanu's going on. That's what's going on.
That is what's going on.
Oh, can't wait for this film. Key and Peele, feature film that they've written. And I think Jordan may have co-directed or at least directed.
How about that whole deal?
Will Forte, Nia Long, looks awesome. Two friends lose their kitten. Gets stolen by a bunch of drug dealers.
Turns into a gangsta cat.
So they have to go undercover and pose as drug dealers to work their way into the street gang to get their kitten Keanu back. Come on! Already I'm laughing, just by the premise. Would you like to see a special K-Rock advanced screening of Keanu on April the 27th. I got a pair of passes for five lucky callers. 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through with that phone number get a pair of passes to the special K-Rock screening of Keanu.
Delightful.
If you don't win, don't feel bad because it's in theaters everywhere on the 29th. But if you want to see it a couple days early, give us a call now.
Ah, I can't wait to see that film.
No, not that.
The first film I've starred in where I get to play myself.
That's not...
Excellent. I get to play Keanu.
Nope. It's an actual cat.
I think Keanu's confused.
Probably.
He sees the poster.
I don't remember making this film. Am I the voice of the cat? Or am I actually in a cat suit? I'm looking forward to seeing my work in it. I think I'll be surprised. Yes.
Speaking of surprises, this is going to bum out some Castle fans. Word breaks today that Stana Katic will no longer be on the TV series Castle.
Oh, she's great on that.
What's the point of having a castle without Kate Beckett? Apparently, ABC is planning a ninth season of Castle, but what without one of its two stars? Stana Katic will not be returning to reprise her role as Detective Kate Beckett. They've also lost another cast member, Tamala Jones, who played the forensic scientist on that show. She is also not being signed up for another contract. Nathan Fillion has been signed up by himself. Yes. Just Castle wandering around an empty squad room saying,
any crimes to solve? Anybody got anything?
Anyone in here?
Apparently, they said it was for budgetary reasons they hadn't brought those people back. Then you don't really have the show, then, do you?
Doesn't feel like it.
ABC said, Kate Beckett has been a beloved character on our hit series Castle for the past 8 years. We are grateful for Stana Katic's talent and dedication to the series. I can see how grateful you are. And we hope to continue our relationship. Well, you could have continued your relationship. You could have given her a contract for season number 9.
Right.
Ralph, was it back in the X-Files days, first run, didn't Duchovny leave and Gillian stayed on? They didn't both leave at the same time?
I think one of them did.
I mean, sometimes we do see that happen, but it's never quite the show it was, that's for sure.
No. Seems like the castle's just sort of petering out.
Right.
Word is it's going to be a shortened, likely 13-episode final and ninth season. And so they're kind of going out with a whimper.
But that's bullshit.
I, for one, will miss Stana Katic because she is just terrific on that show. And yeah, just a sweet, sweet lady. She came out to see Hollywood Babylon one night.
Did she?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yep. Just because she said, I heard you talking about it, and I wanted to come check it out. She came out, and it was charming and lovely.
She left about a third of the way through.
She did not. She stayed the whole thing and came backstage
she
afterwards.
Enjoyed the third.
We laughed and laughed, and we shared a cocktail.
But then she confided to friends that she regretted the decision to go.
None of that happened.
Oh.
She was wonderful and entertained.
We're just guessing based on the past.
Well, you'd be wrong to guess that. She's a dear friend, and I will miss her.
She looks
show.
Back on it as one of the darkest
she does not,
decisions she ever
She looks
made.
Back on it as a wonderful evening that was spent with friends and laughter. Asshole.
We're all just people.
Right?
Hey, we were just talking about how great Nick Jonas was on Saturday Night Live this weekend.
Oh, we were.
Oof.
Oh, man.
He is talented.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers assholes!
Oh, wait a minute. He was awful on the show. But apparently, the world's simply gone mad.
Okay. What are you basing that on?
Well, the Songwriters Hall of Fame just announced they're giving Nick Jonas an honor.
The Songwriters Hall of Fame.
You heard me. He's getting the Hal David Starlight Award for super, super duper talent. Not sure exactly that is the criteria, but
it's a ribbon.
Previous award winners include Taylor Swift, John Legend, Alicia Keys, Drake, and John Mayer. Last year, the award went to Nate Roos from Fun. What one of these things doesn't belong here?
No kidding.
It's Nick Jonas.
Has he written a lot of songs surprising. For other bands that we're not aware of?
No.
Okay.
What's happening? See the end times.
It's the end times.
We're circling the drain. Now, Bean, you're much more forgiving with these pop arts usually than I am. But you watched him on Saturday Night Live, right?
I was not impressed.
He's not good, right?
Yeah, I didn't think he was very good.
And I hope we can put this nightmare behind us now. Apparently, Johnny Depp and his wife Amber Heard have finally settled their differences with the dog-crazed powerhouse that is Australia.
This story is not still going
it
on.
It is still going
you
on.
Told us dogs can't still be alive.
You told us the beginning of this story in 2003.
Yes. That's when Johnny Depp and his wife Amber Heard showed up to Australia to film his most recent Pirates of the Caribbean film, and they flew in a private jet, and they brought their two dogs with them, two little adorable Yorkshire Terriers named Skippy and Paralegal.
I don't think that's
that's not it at all. Pistol and Boo.
They gave all the dogs in Australia rabies, though, and the entire continent had to put their pets down because
they
of
gave
Johnny
them
Depp,
nothing.
Right?
There was no problem. They did not spread any disease or illness, but Australia was so furious.
How mad can Australia be over two dogs?
This week, finally, it's been settled. Amber Heard had to plead guilty to a count of knowingly producing a false or misleading document.
Just pen something in like, this dog is okay.
Signed Australia. Two other charges. For the charges of illegally importing dogs were dismissed, however. So her big dog smuggling ring got off the hook. You know she's bringing in all those hot dogs from Madagascar into Australia with a big dog smuggling ring.
Yeah, she's bringing in 500 at a time to sell on the street.
Come on, Australia.
Stop
Would you
it.
Say that's crikey?
Stop doing what you're doing, Australia.
Part of the deal, however, was that Johnny and Amber had to perform in a public service announcement warning other people not to bring their dogs illegally into Australia and also talk about what a great country it is, how the people there are warm and loving.
This part,
but if you break the law, they will tell you in most certain terms you're wrong.
This part right there that you just said, that was all set up for a joke.
No,
right?
This is the actual apology video released featuring Johnny Depp in this least convincing dramatic performance ever. Looking just like he wants to take somebody's head off. And poor Amber Heard looking tired of the BS. The two of them just look beaten and worn down.
And they're both right.
It's as if they're performing this at gunpoint. It's as if just outside the frame, you can almost imagine an Australian standing there with some sort of Aboriginal weapon pointed at the young couple. But here is the audio from that video.
Australia is a wonderful island with a treasure trove of unique plants, animals, and people.
It has to be protected.
Australia is free of many pests and diseases that are commonplace around the world. That is why Australia has to have such strong biosecurity laws.
And Australians are just as unique, both warm and direct. When you disrespect Australian law, they will tell you firmly.
I am truly sorry that Pistol and Boo were not declared. Protecting Australia is important.
Declare everything when you enter Australia. Thanks.
Holy crap.
Are we free to go now?
Professional actors? Couldn't they have put a little spin on that?
Yeah, if they wanted to, but they didn't. This is stupid. Australia's great, everybody.
They're a warm and friendly people. And they really take this stuff seriously, this whole dog thing. And so we have to protect Australia. Don't bring in your dog.
That's unbelievable.
Wow. Yeah, it's pretty magical. Australia, come on.
Come on, take it easy.
That should be their new national tourism slogan. Come on, Australia. Today's celebrity birthdays. James Woods is 69 years old today. TV talk show host Conan O'Brien celebrates his 53rd birthday. Maria Bello, the lovely and talented actress. Philadelphia girl, you know. Kevin doesn't care. He's talking to someone else while I'm having a conversation.
I know Philadelphia girl. I heard you.
49 years old today.
They're the best.
David Tennant's 45.
They're not as good as Australian girls.
No, because Australians are warm and direct. If you break the law, they will.
They will tell you.
They will, just like a dog with a bone, they will never get over it. Melissa Joan Hart's 40. Courtney Kardashian's 37.
Ralph, I'm not kidding. Why would either of those two people do this?
It was part, I think it was conditional to
this
going away. Well,
who
they'd
cares?
Probably be banned from the country. They'd never be able to return to Australia again. Well, they might. He might have to do another Pirates movie. He'd like to return to the country. I think he'd like to be able to go freely around the globe without having to worry about the Australians showing up. He doesn't want to look over his shoulder for Australians for the rest of his life. Because you know
Australian
they would hunt him till the end of the earth. Yes. There's that dog smuggler. Crikey. He'd be dodging boomerangs his whole life. Didgeridoos coming out of nowhere.
I think it's totally worth a minute of their time, Kevin, to get this
I can't imagine most stars of their, you know, their level would ever do this. They would just go, no.
So they should just flaunt the law, Kevin?
Yes.
They just say,
he's Johnny Depp. She's Amber Heard.
But they still have to apply by, live by the laws.
Have to live by
Everyone
the
has to live by the laws.
They don't.
Yes, they do.
They don't.
Apparently they do because they've done this. America Ferrera and Chloe Bennett also celebrate birthdays today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Felicia Day in studio. We have comedian Ben Glebe in studio as well, talking about his TV show, Idiot Test. We have Anderson Cooper on the program
Coop!
Tomorrow. We have...
What's up, Coop?
Right. We have...
Coop, pull it together.
We have the Riddler on tomorrow.
The Riddler?
The Riddler! Corey Michael Smith from Gotham tomorrow.
Nothing's funny about that, Anderson.